I'll call the assembly meeting to order, and we will start with the flag salute. Ms. Hughes Gandies, would you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks. Madam Clerk, will you do a roll call, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Bryson?
Present.
Mr. Edwardson?
Here.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Here.
Ms. Hale?
Here.
Ms. Hughes Gandies?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Treen?
Here.
Mayor Weldon?
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And now we will move to a special order of business. Although it's not on our agenda, we have some guests here. So may I have Rear Admiral Matt Bell come up?
Thanks, Mayor. So, Mayor Sutherland, City of Juneau, I just wanted to come by and say thanks. So, for the past couple of weeks, everybody knows that there's been some issues with federal pay and pay to active duty Coast Guard and approximately 800,000 federal employees across the country. For the active duty folks assigned here to Juneau, the outpouring and the support that we've seen over the past couple of weeks has just been mind-blowing. For myself, I'm an Alaska resident. I call Kodiak Alaska home. But for me to call Juneau home right now is pretty heartwarming. For some of the folks in the military, for folks in the Coast Guard, this is their first time ever away from home. And I guarantee you some of the actions that they've seen over the past couple of weeks, they would have never, ever seen in their hometown. But to see the outpouring here, the generosity, the contributions by all the corporations in town, the industry in town, the city itself, and just neighbors coming out to help neighbors, it's just been fantastic. And I just wanted to make sure I came by and personally made it a public record that we noticed that. We made record of that, and we're going to try to pay that back, paying that forward, and continuing to stand the watch for most of us in the uniform, but also for our civilian employees. This is what we do. And the fact that you came to our rescue over the past couple of weeks has just been heartwarming. And for me to say that to you, I just say thank you, and I'm so glad to be part of this community. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Admiral. And from the Forest Service, we have Deputy Regional Forester Jerry Ingersoll.
Thank you, Mayor. And Admiral, you're a tough act to follow. I have to say it matters to every federal employee who's here to serve you, to serve the country, to be so appreciated, so supported during these last 5 weeks. And we're glad to be back at work for you. We're glad to have your support, and we're very glad to be part of this community that's just reached out to so many federal employees in so many ways. Thank you.
All right, moving along, approval of minutes. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the minutes be approved as written and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Thank you. Madam Clerk. Now we'll move on to Mr. Manager. Do you have any agenda changes for us?
I do not. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're going to public participation on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk, did you get our timer situation taken care of?
I have a substitute. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
You just won't see the pretty lights.
So we're predicting that this might be a lengthy meeting tonight, so we will limit our comments to 2 minutes. So please limit your comments to 2 minutes. So the first non-agenda person speaking will be Russ Paganoff. Apologize if I missaid your name.
Okay.
You have to come sit up and please introduce yourself and give us your address, please. Yep.
Here?
Yep. We have to have you at a microphone so everybody can hear you.
Good evening. My name is Russ Pagankoff. I live out in the valley at 4506 Prospect Way. Good evening, members of the Assembly. Thank you for your time this evening to allow me to bring an issue before you. My name is Russ Pagankoff. I was born in Anchorage and have been a resident of Juneau since 1996. The issue I'm bringing forward to you this evening is my concern about how parking and parking passes are being handled at the Downtown Transit Center parking garage. My employer has been purchasing annual parking permits for its employees who have worked downtown since the original Marine parking garage was opened. When the Downtown Transit Center parking garage was opened, the parking passes were moved there as it was much more convenient and safe for employees, such as myself, to be able to get to work. My normal working schedule is 8 to 5, but I occasionally start very early in the morning or work late at night with little to no notice. And about 2 weeks ago, I did exactly that, working until about 3 a.m. When I came downtown later that morning to return to work, I pulled into the parking garage to find a spot. And while I searched the first, second, and fourth floor, there were no spots available, so I parked on the third level. Knowing that this was reserved for the legislature, and I will note that there were less than 20 cars parked there at 10 a.m., I parked away from everyone else and then called the Parks and Rec Department to explain that I had looked for parking on the other levels and that nothing was available. I was then informed that I would receive a warning this time and a ticket the next time if I parked on that level. When I expressed my dismay that I had attempted to find another spot and there was none available, I was told the city had made an agreement when the garage was built that 61 spots would be reserved for the legislature, and that furthermore, when a parking pass was purchased, there was no guaranteed spots, and that the legal document that was signed when the parking pass was purchased clearly stated that. When I asked to speak to a supervisor, I was told the same thing. I was also told that I could exchange the parking pass for one of them.
If you could close.
Okay. And that there were plenty of parking spaces. I believe this process of overselling the parking garage is wrong. This is both morally and ethically wrong. Is the city legally right? Yes. But I don't believe it's morally or ethically correct. I would ask that the city manager work with the Parks and Rec Department to correct this situation.
All right.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And before you get up, any questions? Okay, seeing and hearing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and then we're going to call Mr. Harris.
Gee, I should just plug in here. I'll be fine. My name is Dennis Harris. I'm proud to be the third member of my family that lives at 544 West 12th Street, third generation, I should say. I'm going to start coming to meetings and hounding you guys until you fix Capitol Avenue. It has been a constant minefield of potholes. I thought that they might have sort of temporarily fixed it by putting some of the recycled asphalt from the airport in there towards the end of September, but it only took about until the middle of December before it turned again into a minefield. It is time to bite the bullet and do it. You did the other half of Capitol Avenue. The part between 9th Street and Willoughby gets a lot of traffic. Everybody that lives, shops at Foodland and lives in the Highlands takes that route. Most of the people at the top end of 12th Street take that route. I take it because I can't get into back into my parking space easily unless I'm driving down 12th Street. And everybody in the Flats neighborhood is sick and tired of it. It's time to fix it. It's time to fix it next construction season, not 4 years from now or 5 years from now. And you need to move it up on the CIP. And really, you need to tell engineering to go down and do some traffic counts. The road is beat up the whole distance. I know there's a lot of utilities under there, particularly AEL&P stuff, and it's going to be expensive to do. But it needs to be done. Please. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Harris? Thank you, Mr. Harris. Okay, that brings us to Doug Woodby.
Yeah, hi, I'm Doug Woodby. I live at 3240 Noel Avenue in Juneau, and I'm here representing myself. And I'm pleased to announce that we're almost at the one-year anniversary of the Juneau Renewable Energy Strategy. Thank you, Assembly, for what you did almost a year ago. And I'm here to ask how we're doing on this, what kind of progress we've made. In the document, there are recommendations that are listed, six of them, and I wanted to suggest that maybe in the near future that the city compile a progress report for how where we've gotten on this. In particular, I'm interested in knowing how we're doing with energy management for the city itself, particularly fossil fuel use, to have a baseline we can see how the baseline, how it's trending. And perhaps that kind of progress report could appear in the Empire. I know there are periodic reports from the city on what's going on, and it'd be good to inform the public on that. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Woodby? Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Mr. Woodby, for testifying. Are you aware that the Assembly, in its December retreat, actually added sustainability as one major goal with subtopics? So we are moving in that area. I know we might not be moving as fast as you would like, but I just want to make sure you're aware of that.
Yeah, thanks for that. I actually, Carol Treem informed me of that at a recent meeting we attended. Thank you.
All right, any other questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Woodby.
Thank you.
Right. So listed is not agenda, but Carla Hart. Okay. Okay.
Thank you. My name is Carla Hart. I live at 4950 Rin Drive. I am here tonight knowing that you have agenda items somewhat related to what I'm talking about, but to say a shot over the bow, the city really needs to do a comprehensive tourism plan, looking at cruise industry and looking at independent travel and any other type of tourism, and figure out what we're spending, where the money is coming from, and how we're going to go forward. With the recent lawsuit somewhat settled, I'm hearing that we can't spend cruise passenger fee money on toilets and on a lot of other things. And as a taxpayer in Juneau, and I'm seeing this from others on social media and amongst my friends, I don't want to spend a dime of my taxpayer money paying for toilets and paying for street sweeping and paying for other services that are a direct service to the cruise industry. And the cruise industry I followed pretty closely for 35 years. I read their financials. I go into their corporate web filings. I've been following them a long time. They are masters at externalizing every cost that they can. And we as a community need to say no, and the time right now is very good to say no, because Alaska is booming in the cruise industry. They're repositioning ships. They're making a pile of money off of us. It shows that their pricing is going up. They can charge more per passenger for cruises now. They're raising the price of all their services on the ships to maximize their profits. We should not be paying the residents of Juneau to subsidize the industry in any way whatsoever, and I urge you to invest a little bit of city time and resources into figuring out what we're spending, what we're getting, how we can get more. They're taking our fresh water. Fresh water is a really valuable resource. Could we charge more? I think we need to go down the list of all the services and make it so that we're making money and not spending money on them. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Ms. Hart? All right, thank you, Ms. Hart. So I don't have anybody else listed for non-agenda items. Did I miss anybody that they didn't get a sign up? Okay, seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to our consent agenda. Any public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinance for introduction? Any assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Assembly action. Mr. Clarkshire.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move the consent agenda as listed and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. And that brings us to our public hearing. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-03, an ordinance amending the City and Borough of Juneau Code related to aquatics facilities and repealing the associated sunset date.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Mandrew.
In October 2014, Juneau voters authorized the Assembly to adopt an ordinance to establish a board to direct the operation of CBJ's aquatic facilities. Subsequently, Ordinance 2015-23B created the 7-member Aquatics Board. That ordinance specified the Aquatics Board would automatically sunset on May 28, 2018. Ordinance 2018-18 extended the sunset date to June 30, 2019 to allow for further consideration of better governance options. Since April 2018, the Aquatics Board, in consultation with the City Manager and Parks and Recreation staff, considered different governance options, which culminated in Ordinance 2019-03. This ordinance would permanently remove the sunset provision and make several other changes. It increases the number of board members from 7 to 9 and designates one seat each for representatives from the Juneau School District and a local aquatics organization that rents a pool facility. The director of the Parks and Recreation Department would sit on the board as a non-voting member. The ordinance further clarifies that the aquatics manager reports to the Parks and Recreation Director and provides staff support to the aquatics board. The board would continue to have the ability to establish fees and charges for the use of aquatic facilities, review and approve annual operating and capital budget submissions, and adopt regulations subject to assembly approval. Upon adoption of this ordinance, the Assembly would then need to address the board's membership. The Human Resources Committee discussed this ordinance on January 7, 2019. The Aquatics Board discussed this ordinance on January 15 and 22. A memo from the City Attorney describes the changes in Version B. I recommend you adopt Version B of this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak to this ordinance? I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly pass Ordinance 2019-03, Version B, and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Mr. Jones.
Yes, I will object to Version B.
As you say, do you wish to speak to your objection?
I do. Version B made a couple changes, one of which I don't have a problem with, changing swim organization to aquatics organization. I don't have any problem with that. I do have a problem with the recommendation 2, which is removing the employment prohibition. I just feel that it's, well, the attorney talks about would just revert back to the normal conflict of interest code. During the discussion about the aquatics board, there was a lot of discussion about members of aquatics facilities, members of board, and those kinds of things. So I would like to see that remain. And if it requires an amendment, fine. But for that reason, I would oppose Version B.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Do you want to move that from objection to an amendment, or would you like to maintain your objection?
I guess I would make a motion that the 67-10-01-B use the language in the original ordinance and not Version B.
Ms. Blaschef?
Mr. Jones, which sentence on what page specifically?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I wasn't prepared for it. I believe that it is, I can't find the right page.
Mr. Attorney, can you assist us?
So I believe version B is on page, packet page 38.
Looks like it's line 17.
And then line 17, I believe, is the sentence that Mr. Jones is addressing.
So to restate your amendment, you're proposing that we don't strike that line.
That would be correct.
Okay. Madam Clerk, is that clear to you?
Ask a question.
Ms. Glashevsky?
The Human Resources Committee considered this. I would ask the Human Resources Chair if you had discussion about this and what happened.
Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Gladyshevsky, I do not recall discussing that specific issue. Am I incorrect?
Ms. Preen.
It was not discussed with the Human Resources Committee. It came at the request of the Aquatics Board, and I can go into their reasons for asking that if anybody...
Please do so.
So they asked for that sentence to be removed because a number of people serving on the Aquatics Board have children who are employees, who are lifeguards. And I think finding people willing to serve on the Aquatics Board means finding people who have an association with the pools, and you will oftentimes run into this problem where their teenage children are pool employees. And that's why they asked for that sentence to be removed.
All right, thank you. Ms. Glashevsky, did you still have a question?
No, I just wanted to know what the discussion was, who discussed what.
Any objections to Mr. Jones' amendment? Okay. Do either of you ladies like to speak to your objection?
Just for the.
Okay. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I believe that this kind of issue comes up on probably all boards and commissions as well as the assembly. We are a small town, and we know a lot of people, and a lot of our relatives are employed in various ways. And I believe that the solution that is proposed in the original Amendment B works for all of our other boards and commissions. And so I think it's an appropriate solution rather than to roll back to what is in existence.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Jones.
Just as a reminder, when we originally... the original impetus behind the Aquatics Board as an empowered board and as it's came to be formed, which wasn't quite a full Aquatics Board, was a lot of people's concern that the board not be an arm of the swim clubs, not be an arm of the groups that use the pool the most often. And one of the concerns and one of the ways in which the assembly then dealt with that was to put that clause in there to avoid that appearance. Not to say that it was, but the appearance of that level of conflict. And so rather than everybody having to talk to the attorney every time a subject comes up that might affect the employment of one of their children if they're on the board, it's easiest to eliminate that. So that's why that was there, and that's why I object to it being removed.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. So we have an amendment, and we have objection. So Ms. Madam Clerk, will you please call?
Madam Mayor, can we get a clarification on the amendment that we're voting for?
Madam Clerk, do you want to give clarification? We're still on.
If I'm understanding Mr. Jones's amendment correctly, it is to restore the strike-through language found on page 2 of the ordinance 2019-03 version B, such that the language, no board member or member of a board member's immediate family or household may be employed by an aquatics facility owned by the city and borough, would be restored and not struck through.
And that's packet page 38.
Line 17.
Mr. Bryson, are you good?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you for the clarification.
Madam Clerk, do you call roll?
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mr. Bryson?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Ms. Hale?
No.
Ms. Treen?
No.
Ms. Hughes-Candies?
No.
Mayor Weldon?
No.
The amendment fails.
All right, back to the motion. And we have objection to the motion. Anybody else object? Okay, moving on. Will you call roll for that?
Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Ms. Treen?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Candies?
Yes.
And Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, that brings us to item B. Madam Clerk?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-11-Y, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of up to $230,000 as funding for Phase 2 of the Amalga Fish Cleaning Station Project. Grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has provided $230,000 for the purpose of design and construction of a new fish cleaning float. This project received a previous Fish and Game grant of $50,000 for feasibility and planning purposes. The additional funds will cover the final design, permitting, bidding, and construction of the fish cleaning station at Amalga Harbor. Docks and Harbors Board referred this item to the Assembly at its regular meeting on December 20, 2018. The Assembly Public Works and Facility discussed this matter on January 14, 2019 and recommended to postpone consideration of the ordinance until more public process has occurred. I recommend the Assembly allow public testimony tonight and then refer this ordinance to the Public Works and Facility Committee to allow staff more time to facilitate public process.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Ms. Hale. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, the public gets to speak on this item. So we have Mr. Lars.
Mayor, it's a point of order.
Yes.
The Public Works and Facilities Committee did, in fact, recommend that we not take public testimony and that we postpone this. I've had some discussions with the attorney about when an ordinance gets introduced and then is set for public hearing and referred to a committee. It sets up a dynamic with the committee that they don't feel they can hold it in committee because it's already been set for public hearing. But at the same time, the Public Works and Facilities Committee voted unanimously to request the Assembly not hold public hearing at an Assembly until it's done. So I don't know if it's appropriate to follow our rules in terms of public comment before, I guess, the Assembly deals with the motion that came from one of its own committees.
Thank you, Mr. Jones, but I believe Mr. Attorney, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Short answer to Mr. Jones's question, the Assembly ultimately has discretion tonight whether to accept public testimony. I think it's probably prudent to accept public testimony just because the ordinance was introduced and set for public hearing. However, if the Assembly does want to exercise some discretion on this, it could immediately remove this from the item.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Having talked to some members of the neighborhood, I believe they just have a spokesperson talking tonight, if that's correct. So I think we will go ahead with public testimony. And so that will bring Mr. Unless you have something, Ms. Lasha.
I just wanted to make it clear that this got a little confused, and this is not to be the only public testimony on this item. The intention was for it to go to Public Works, things get worked out, and then eventually come back here. So this would be just an extra opportunity for public testimony. Once it gets worked out of Public Works, it will be back here for more public testimony. This isn't the only public testimony on this item.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Glashevsky. Mr. Larson. And Mr. Larson, you'll have 2 minutes as well.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to comment this evening. My name is Doug Larson. My address is 16005 Point Lena Way. And I'm going to be brief. I'm one of several property owners at Damalga Huffman Harbors. We've got several others in the chamber tonight. We did as you asked, Madam Mayor, and we drew straws, and here I am. All we really want to say tonight is that we appreciate what the Public Works and Facilities Committee did when we met with them 2 weeks ago, and asking for that postponement on the ordinance tonight, and also what the city manager has recommended. We support that move. We do have some issues that we think need to be further explored relative to the ordinance and the project at Damalga Harbor, and we think that we would all benefit from having more public input and teasing apart some of the details, which I think many of you, I think, at this point are aware of because we have shared some comments in letters and things to you. So without getting into all the detail, really all we want to say is we'd appreciate it if you would, in fact, postpone this, send it back to Public Works and Facilities for more public comment opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Any questions for Mr. Larson? Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Larson, I knew at some point I would have to talk about fish guts on the assembly, and you guys let us do that right away. Do you see the proposed fish cleaning station as solving some of the issue that are caused by the fish carcasses, or have they not moved it out or not done enough? Are we still going to have a fish carcass and bear problem at the completion of this? Are we solving it or not?
Through the mayor, Member Bryson, I think it's fair to say, without data in hand, that when you have one cleaning station, you're going to get a number of carcasses. When you have more than one cleaning station, you're going to get more carcasses. I think, speaking for myself, and I know a lot of my friends do the same thing, when we come into Damalga, if the fish cleaning station is open, we use it. And some of us take our carcasses for crab bait, some leave them there. But I think that in instances where the cleaning station is being occupied, many of us will just say, I'm not going to hang around, I'm getting out of here, I'll clean them at my home or some other place. So I think that it's reasonable to predict that with more cleaning stations, you will in fact see more carcasses on top of what's already, I think, recognized as a problem in the harbor is only going to be exacerbated. And that's what we think would benefit from some more public input and some more thinking about how we ensure that what we do in the interest of trying to solve a problem doesn't turn into a bigger problem.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Larson.
Thank you.
Anybody else wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly refer this ordinance to the Public Works and Facilities Committee to allow staff more time to facilitate the public process. And ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing, hearing none, so moved. That brings us to item C. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-04, version B. An ordinance repealing ordinance 2015-18 AM and reestablishing the Treadwell Arena Advisory Board.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
The Treadwell Arena Advisory Board, the TAB, was established by the Assembly in 2015 and tasked with reviewing operations at the Treadwell Arena, including financial performance, marketing, and facility usage. The TAB recently developed mission and vision statements for the board and has proposed amending Ordinance 2015-18 AM to provide better alignment between the TAB's work and its reports to the Assembly. This ordinance would better identify objective reporting criteria that align with the TAB's vision to capture continued opportunities for the community to use Treadwell Arena and its mission to work with Treadwell Arena to ensure operations are consistent with cost recovery goals, identify opportunities to generate net revenue, and identify ways to improve the user's experience. The TAB discussed these changes at its meeting on October 16, 2018, and recommended forwarding them to the Assembly for action. Human Resources Committee discussed this ordinance on January 7, 2019, and recommended that the TAB report to the Human Resources Committee instead of the Committee of the Whole. That change is reflected in version B of this ordinance. I recommend you adopt version B of this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move it to the Assembly. Ms. Hughes-Scandies, are you ready?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move ordinance 2019-04B and ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. That brings us to item D. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-01, an ordinance amending the City and Borough Code relating to the criminal penalty for violating conditions of release.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager?
This ordinance would amend the CBJ's violating conditions of release penalty to be consistent with the maximum penalty allowed under state law. AS 2925070G requires that a penalty for a municipal ordinance may not be greater than for a violation of a similar state law. This ordinance would reduce the maximum term of imprisonment from 10 days to 5 days for the crime of violating conditions of release and clarify that the maximum fine is still $2,000, which is consistent with state law. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Mr. Harris. You'll have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. As we know, there are things afoot in the legislature to once again revise SB 91, which lowered these penalties. I would hope and ask, please, the Assembly, that when you, if the legislature increases this penalty, that you go ahead and adopt whatever the state standard is, the maximum. And I say this because I live in the flats. We've had a lot of thefts over there. And in one case I know of, somebody broke into somebody's house and got arrested. And by the time they went to court, they'd already served the 5 days. And they were back out in our neighborhood ripping us off again. Now, I realize that this is not the only part of SB 91, and certainly drug rehab and some other things are very important parts of that. But when somebody comes in and the city prosecutes them, I want them to serve the maximum penalty. And I want to keep them off the street the maximum number of days so they're not out stealing from us. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Harris? Thank you, Mr. Harris. Anybody else wish to speak to this ordinance? All right, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Treem.
I move ordinance 2019-01 and ask unanimous consent.
Ms. Blaschef?
I just have object for purpose of one question. Let me ask a question, Attorney. Mr. Palmer, I see the additional text, but there's no strikeout text on here. Did that just not get on here? Normally you see the difference by strikeout and addition, so I just was confused. What did it used to say?
Thank you. So the original language actually is as you see it here. However, the default penalty, I don't remember what chapter it's in right now, chapter 3, I believe, or chapter 1 in the CBJ code, said it was 10 days. And so what we're doing here is explicitly identifying that the maximum is 5 days in this section.
Okay. So the sentence just ended, Class Correct. B misbreak. Correct. Thank you very much. I don't object.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. That brings us to item E. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-11U, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $600,000 as funding for the electronic fare boxes capital improvement project for Capital Transit.
grant funding provided by Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate grant funding in the amount of $600,000 as provided by federal funds through the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. A local match requirement of $150,000 has already been appropriated to the capital project under D71090 electronic fare boxes. This funding will provide Capital Transit with a data management and fare collection system that enables automatic passenger counters to track ridership and loads on an ongoing basis, and a fare collection system to help reduce collection time, ultimately providing improved customer service. Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this topic at its meeting on December 10, 2018, and referred it to the Assembly. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2018-11U, and I recommend unanimous consent.
Mr. Bryson.
Were you asking for objections, ma'am? Madam Mayor? I'm going to object. May I speak to my objection?
Yes, you may.
I think that I have a question for the city manager. Are these electronic fare boxes already utilized in other cities and other buses? I would hate to have a repeat of the electronic parking equipment. And for our the follow-up question on that, will there still be the capability of accepting cash? I would hate for a bus rider to be stranded somewhere because they don't have an electronic capability. Have those problems been worked out? Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, I'm looking to Mr. Vigue in the audience, and I'm hoping that he might be able to
help welcome us, Mr. Vigue,
on that question. I would say that technology implementation is always difficult, and this ordinance would appropriate funding, does not specify the exact technology manufacturer, and I would imagine there would be a robust consideration of the options available.
That's correct. Yeah. Once we get the grant from the DOT and from Federal Transit Administration, we will pursue, probably through a consultant, to determine what technology we want to buy and install on the buses. And to answer your first question, other cities are using technology like this. We're certainly not on the cutting edge of that. Oh, with cash. And I think that the cash question is an important consideration, that as we go through the process of determining what technology we would buy, making sure that we can accept cash to not strand passengers would be a high consideration.
Thank you, Mr.
Vigue. Thank you, Mr. Vigue. I remove my objection.
Okay, thank you. Any other objections? Okay, seeing and hearing none, so moved. All right, item F. Madam Clerk. Thank you, Mr. Vigue.
Ordinance 2018-11V, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $479,653 as partial funding for bus replacement for Capital Transit. Grant funding provided by Alaska Department of Transportation, Public Facilities, with local matching funds provided by the Equipment Replacements Reserve Fund balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate grant funding in the amount of $407,630 as provided by federal funds through the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. A local match requirement of $72,023 will be funded from the Equipment Replacement Reserve Fund balance. This low-no bus grant and local match will be combined with the remaining funding of $397,339 from the recent diesel bus replacement grant that was previously appropriated by the Assembly, along with the associated local match of $99,335 available in the Equipment Replacement Reserve Fund balance. These combined funds, totaling $976,327, will allow Capital Transit to replace a 2006 35-foot diesel-powered bus with a 35-foot electric bus and associated charging infrastructure for the Mendenhall Valley Transit Facility. Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this topic at its meeting on December 10, 2018, and referred it to the Assembly. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Beck.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a question about the age of this new bus we're getting. Is it replacing a 2006 with an electric bus, or is it a 2019 bus? What year is this bus?
That'd be the mayor. So it would be replacing a diesel bus from 2006 with a brand new 2019 or whatever year it shows up electric bus.
All right. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2018-11B and ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I object for purposes of asking a question. Wasn't there already a grant to purchase a loan no bus, and where is that bus, and what's the status of that bus?
Mr. Begue.
Through the mayor, Ms. Hale, this is the first grant that we've received from Federal Transit Administration through DOT for an electric bus. What you may be thinking about is there's a second grant that we applied for that we have not yet received. We've been approved, but we haven't received that second grant yet, and that will be used for a second electric bus.
Follow up,
Ms. Hale.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Figue. Can you explain why there's been such a long delay in purchasing this bus?
Through the mayor, Ms. Hale, I can't explain why there's been a long delay in getting the grant. We can't purchase the bus until we have the grant funding, and we just received the grant paperwork from the Alaska DOT maybe 3-4 weeks ago, right before we brought it to Public Works.
Thank you. Objection removed.
All right. Mr. Bryson.
In reading the ordinance, it sounded like that the funds also, oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and this is to Mr. Vigue. Mr. Vigue, it indicated that part of this funding would be for the facilities for the charging station. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And my follow-up, so when we purchase the second bus, what kind of savings will we be looking at, or what will the difference in cost be, because we'll now have the infrastructure in place? I take it we'll be able to use the same charging facility for both buses?
Through the mayor, Mr. Bryson, I don't think that is correct. When the second bus, we also have included in that grant funding to do the charging station for that bus also.
Mr. Manager, you wanted to pop in there.
I would like to pop in. Thank you. So following up Ms. Hale's question, yes, the grant itself has been delayed, but the order was placed quite a long time ago, and the bus is in the manufacturing queue, and we have not lost our spot in line. So I think the manufacturing time was 20 to 22 months from time of order, and I think the bus, assuming the manufacturing plant schedule doesn't slip, would be delivered sometime next fall.
Thank you.
So it has taken a long time to get the grant paperwork, but we did order it and we did reserve our place in line.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Jones. Okay. So I'm assuming Ms. Hale and Mr. Bryson, you no longer have any objections.
No longer. Right.
No, Madam Mayor.
Any other objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Brings us to item G. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-11W, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of up to $30,000 as partial funding for the cold weather emergency shelter fiscal year 19 grant funding provided by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, the Trust.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
The Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority approved a $30,000 grant request submitted by CBJ staff to cover the costs of operating the cold weather emergency shelter. Last year, CBJ received $16,425 to cover rent at the facility. The increased amount recognizes the CBJ's additional costs in taking over ownership of the building, but is $6,000 short of what requested. Housing officer will be looking for operational efficiencies to address the shortfall. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Becker.
I would like to ask a question first.
Ms. Becker.
Are we getting the people in this with, how is our notification other than the sign we have out here that people know that that is open? I've been hearing that some people just don't know if it's open, so they just don't even try to get over there. Do you think that's true? Are we being inclusive enough with everyone?
I see Ms. Gallion there. I think we could bring her up and have her address this. I don't see Mr. Chambor, so I'm picking on Ms. Gallion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Irene Gallion, Housing and Homelessness Services Coordinator. The notification we have right now, we have six signs. Four of them are downtown, two in the valley, and they can be electronically controlled. So if the status changes, we can change it so it's lit or not. And then we also have an email blast. If people are interested in getting notification, they can contact Scott, the Chief Housing Officer, and he will put them on a list, and they'll get a personal email.
Ms. Blaschef?
Can you tell me the location of the six signs so people hear on the radio?
So we have one right here at City Hall, facing back. We have one at Resurrection Lutheran, one at Polaris House, and one at the shelter itself. And then the other two are in the valley. One is at St. Vincent de Paul, and one is at the thrift store.
And so do they are all electronic? You can just press a button, and it says we're open.
It's everywhere. Controlled via cell phone.
Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms. Gallion, good to see you, ma'am. I've had a little bit of information. I've had a request to increase the temperature so that it's maybe not necessarily right at 32 degrees, that there's still risk of hypothermia even when the weather is rainy and 38 or 39 degrees. Is there a talk or a potential of being able to increase the temperature at which we decide to open the warming center?
There has been discussion. I would defer that to the city manager.
Mr. Bryce, remember, that's not in the ordinance.
Forgive me, Madam Mayor. All right.
Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is just for Ms. Becker's question. It's also on Facebook, and from what I understand, quite a few people see the advertisements on Facebook when the shelter is opening.
All right. Thank you for that information. Any more questions? We'll bring it back to Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that we adopt Ordinance 2018-11-W and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Brings us to item H. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-11-X. An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $52,763 as partial funding for the Housing and Homelessness Services Coordinator Project, grant funding provided by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Mann.
The Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority approved a $52,763 housekeeping grant submitted by CBJ at the request of the trust. This grant streamlines travel funding and reestablishes a fiscal year grant cycle. One element of this grant is for $36,355. The original award was for $100,000 a year for up to 3 years beginning in fiscal year 2018. Our Housing and Homelessness Services Coordinator was hired 7 months into the fiscal year. This funding fills the gap between fiscal years and allows the trust to assume a regular grant cycle in fiscal year 2020. The other element of this grant is $16,398 in travel and training dollars for the Housing and Homelessness Services Coordinator and the Chief Housing Officer to participate in homelessness-related training and conferences. Rather than approve them individually, the trust requested they be submitted as a plan. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2018-11X. Ask unanimous consent, and I would like to ask a question.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So the grant was for $100,000 a year for up to 3 years. So are we still going to get the $100,000 a year? In other words, get a few extra months, or are they just going to reduce us because we didn't get it hired for 7 months? Are we really going to get the $100,000?
Ms. Gallion.
Because that would be good.
Madam Mayor, we will get a total of 3 years of funding for this position. So we won't get 3 years and 3 months or any additional. It'll just be the 3 years. It's just a housekeeping item so that that lines up with their billing cycle.
So we will get $300,000?
Yes, ma'am.
And okay, great. That's all I care. Thank you.
All right.
I remove my own objection.
Okay. Any other objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Okay, so I think the next items we will have a little bit of more discussion on them. So let's take a 10-minute break and be back here at 10 after.
Well, that was fun so far. I think that was the most discussion we've had.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be. I thought the ones A through, you know, H would
just whip through,
yeah,
right, so right.
Fun. Actually, I thought that was pretty.
I know, it's so much.
Bring the Assembly back. Moving on to item I, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-02. An ordinance authorizing the city manager to execute a purchase and sale agreement with Archipelago Properties, LLC. For real property located at lots 1, 2, and 4, Archipelago Subdivision, plat number 2013-22, Juneau Recording District, near 356 South Franklin Street.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
The rapidly growing visitation of cruise ships and their passengers necessitates additional facilities to serve the industry. Since the opening of the new floating berth at Alaska Steamship Wharf, dockings there have increased 44%, and the number of passengers visiting has increased 182%. Cruise ship vessels exist to take passengers on vacations, and their sole purpose for entering the Port of Juneau is to allow passengers to disembark for the day and to enjoy walking about downtown and/or getting on ground transportation to their tours. This project would provide necessary services to the vessel, to the passengers, and will advance the marine enterprise of the cruise ship industry. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals concluded that the provision of the same services as are proposed in this project was lawful in Barber v. State of Hawaii. This ordinance would authorize the manager to enter into an agreement to purchase private property and sell municipal property, resulting in a net cost to the CBJ of $922,000. $175. Since the publishing of the packet, I would also notice the public that we received a letter this morning from Mr. Binkley of CLIA, Alaska, removing objection to the project while maintaining some reservation. So that is new information for most of the public that we received a letter this morning from CLIA, Alaska, not objecting to the project. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. We do have members of the public signed up. Dennis Harris. Please state your name, even though I did.
Dennis Harris, 544 West 12th Street. I just have one comment on this, and I'm looking at these increased numbers here. I agree, we need more facilities down there, but not for more buses. We need more facilities for taxi cabs, limousines, tour vans, smaller vehicles, which have no place to wait and no place to park. And my understanding of this project is it doesn't provide very many more spaces. for which I pay a lot more than the cruise industry. Per seat, the way the fees are structured, per seat, I pay about five times as much as one of the cruise line does for one of their tour buses. And once again, we have more and more stuff, and I'll echo what Ms. Hart said. We have more and more stuff for the industry, not much for local businesses. And so I'm not going to object. I just want you to think about this, and I want you to think about what Ms. Hart said, that it's time for the city to do a study and look at what our maximum carrying capacity is for a quality experience. Because I can tell you, if you go out to Mendenhall Glacier on a Monday afternoon during the summer, it's not a quality experience for anyone. And we want to keep Juneau a quality experience. We need to start emphasizing independent travelers who spend more money here, stay at bed and breakfast like mine. We need to go after those people, maybe spend a little more money, but they'll spend more money here. And we need to, when you do these kind of things, you need to keep in mind that there are a lot of smaller businesses that depend on the tour industry also, and we're usually the ones that end up paying a lot more, especially for passengers. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Harris? Thank you, Mr. Harris. Kirby Day.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Assembly. I'm Kirby Day, 1302 Tarn Court, and tonight representing tourism best management practices here in Juneau. And I'm going to try to be very respectful of your time because you've heard me talk about this quite a bit. In prior testimony, and you're also aware that a number of organizations have supported the project now. You've got the letters in your packet from them. And these discussions are not new. Again, remember we talked about this back in 2010 and 11 when we first talked about 16B and that going from 1,200 and 1,400 passenger ships at both the city docks to 3,000 and 4,000 passenger ships, there's going to be a need for more staging space. Talked about taking the wedding cake out of Marine Park and doing a variety of things. But this project seems to fit very nicely. Docks and Harbors has done a great job in terms of public participation and a public process over the last year to year and a half. To talk to Dennis's comments, and I fully agree, we need more space for smaller vehicles, and this particular lot would serve to have additional space for small minibuses, 20 passengers, small vans, and, you know, Harbors is going to manage it, and maybe they will manage in the opportunity for taxis and limos and things like that too. But it does provide additional capacity for both docks, the tram dock as well as Marine Park, and people would be coming off both of those docks to this lot. TBMP's worked really hard the last 22 years to try to reduce downtown congestion, and we really feel that if we don't do this and find an additional spot to take passengers off the ships and move them on their tours and move them in and out of town, that it's going to put us back to where we were 15, 20 years ago, where you've got vehicles trying to get to these now large number of passengers and circling through downtown, pulling off to the side, and creating more congestion. So we'd urge you to be proactive. The city's been proactive over the last number of years in filling in Marine Park and developing the staging lots we have now, and this is another step. The growth is coming, and we want to do it in a manner that is prudent and in a manner that not only handles pedestrian traffic and vehicular traffic, but just makes the downtown core a lot more palatable for all of us who live here, but also for visitors.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Day. Any questions for Mr. Day? Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Day. Roughly how many passengers will, in theory, be funneled through this additional parking facility? How many passengers is it going to absorb in any given day or on a busy day?
Well, if you're looking at anywhere between 11 passenger vans, possibly cabs, and 20 passenger minibuses, you know, on an hourly basis, maybe 200 passengers enrolling through and turning maybe 8 or 10 times a day. It could be up to 1,500 passengers, 2,000 passengers during the course of a day, in and out, coming off the ships, getting on a bus, going on tour, getting on a minibus, getting in a cab, bringing back to that lot. Just because they got picked up somewhere else doesn't mean they have to go back to that spot. If there's a spot open at this new proposed lot, and again, it'll be a management issue for Docks and Harbors to take up, then they have the opportunity to stop in town, drop people, let them shop rather than go back to the Franklin dock or go back to the AJ dock. So, you know, on a four-ship day, especially with two big 3,000-passenger ships at the two city docks, I don't think it's unheard of that you wouldn't see probably between 1,500 and 1,800 passengers through that lot on a busy day, again, coming from a variety of docks.
Thank you, Mr. Day.
Any more questions for Mr. Day? Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Day. This is going to be something that runs in my mind for anybody who speaks, including up on the Assembly DS here tonight, on this project as a whole, not just this component. This is a component of a larger project. And I can't think of it outside of that, because we probably wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the Archipelago project. So here's the thing that I really haven't decided on yet, having gone through everything, is what public interest does this serve? What public purpose does this serve?
Well, I think it serves a public purpose of, and I'm talking about the staging lot specifically, it serves a public purpose of moving visitors to and from the downtown throughout our community. Because visitors are public as well. It serves a public purpose for our community, because I think it will go a long way towards removing some of the challenges we're going to have with vehicular traffic in the downtown. As I said earlier, if these spots are not available, then they would have these smaller buses and vehicles would end up in the major staging lots, which then push a space out for a larger coach. And now either the smaller vehicles or the bus is going around town looking, waiting for a spot to go into, like we had, like the problems we had back in the 90s. And all of us who live here and people that transit through downtown come from Thane Road throughout the day. It's already tough in terms of moving throughout the community. And I think that what this will really do is give another dropping off space and pickup spot that will get those vehicles off the road, get them out of the core of downtown, circling, looking for a spot, and hopefully make it more palatable for visitors to get in and out of town, but also for all of us who live here to move throughout the community. I don't know if that answered your question, but I think it serves the purpose of making sure that as we grow, we try to find ways to be proactive on our waterfront, much like other ports around the world are doing today, to try to accommodate that growth.
Mr. Edwardson, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Day. And that does, it answers my question for what I was asking you. However, Mr. Keel's last meeting here, when he was talking, he asked a pretty pointed question about how that new lot is actually going to solve the traffic problem downtown. And even after the answer, I really didn't understand how adding another choke point would be helping the traffic downtown. So just to kind of put it into context, we have a lot of visitors coming. Mm-hmm. You know, here's one of the reasons we have a lot of visitors coming. A year ago, maybe more, it was forecast that next year there'll be 1.3 million passengers without the Archipelago project. Now we're forecasted to have 1.3 million passengers. So we have a new parking lot, which I think is a good thing for the industries that are going to be using it. But it wasn't really demonstrated to me that it was going to do what it's claimed to do. So that's why I'm sitting here searching for what is the public purpose, what's the public interest for this whole battery of ordinances that we're going to be looking at tonight.
Okay.
So that's why I was asking, but you did ask what, or you did answer what I asked, and I appreciate that.
Okay, and through the mayor, you know, I've been on numerous tourism committees back with Ms. Gladyszewski and former deputy manager Donna Pearson way back in the late 80s and watched the growth and watched the growth of the industry and watched the city become proactive in trying to accommodate the growth and lessen the impacts of not only pedestrian traffic but vehicular traffic and with the turnaround that was built. And as I said, the filling in of Marine Park, which now serves for some functions that we have, Maritime Festival, things like that that we've used it for, parking in the wintertime. And then most recently, Docks and Harbors and the CBJ, improving the tram lot and the cruise ship terminal lot and increasing the capacity of those facilities to be able to move more guests and more visitors in a safer and a more efficient manner. And I think that's what this, in my opinion, I think this is going to help a lot because the growth is there and we need to try to find a way to minimize that impact on our local residents.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Mr. Day? All right, thank you.
Thank
you for your service with tourism best management practices also. All right. Bill Leite.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Assembly. Bill Leite, 227 Gastineau Avenue. I come to be heard on this and the subsequent related ordinances before you. I want to encourage us not to overinvest in perpetuating ground transportation for the tourism, the visitor, especially the cruise ship industry, based entirely on bus transportation. So I encourage you to refer again to that 9-page memo I inflicted upon you, study it carefully, and look at the video resources A and B, and then consider that we may have, but we need to investigate, you and the city attorney and manager, whether this community has the right, the ability to decide what our carrying capacity is and reduce it to a single digit, a numerical explanation, 1.0 million, say, and then to enforce it and what that would mean. That puts us in a classical monopolist position. Monopolist restricts supply so that the price will go up. And where there's only one Juneau, so we are the monopolists of Juneau, but of course our friend John Binkley will tell us, well, if the cruise ships can't come here, they'll go someplace else. Well, that's the whole idea, so that we live within our carrying capacity here. So we have two options, either to restrict supply and carrying capacity as we've chosen to define it in the conversation we'll have, or to expand that carrying capacity so that we and the visitors are satisfied with the results. We probably can't do that with bus transportation in the way that we are attempting to do it here by buying this piece of land and making it a bus dispatching point. We may be forced into the position of talking at the table with our friends from the cruise ship industry about something well beyond bus transportation, as I've said for a few decades, a fixed guideway hydroelectric powered transit system. It may not be a panacea, but it would transform Juneau and it may transform the cruise ship industry and allow us to give them, say, 1.5 million visitors per year within our carrying capacity. So please look forward to that. And this is the 50th anniversary of the publication of Garrett Hardin's famous essay on the tragedy of the commons, where the metaphor is that every shepherd in Boston wanted to bring another sheep to Boston Commons. If they had, it would have ruined it. So either they had to get more pasture and expand the commons or restrict entrance to the commons. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Levy? Ms. Hale.
Thank you. Mr. Leite, you've talked before about this fixed rail system. Do you have an estimate of what the cost would be for something like that? I think you even talked about it going from downtown to the glacier.
Yep. Nope. Because we have never seriously considered it. We have never spent a dime on considering that as an option for the transportation future of the community. It costs real money to hire Parsons Brinkerhoff or some of these other competent groups that can answer that question, because it's so complicated. And for every city, we can come up with a rule of thumb for how many million dollars per mile of track, and you've got to have a maintenance facility and stops here and there, but it's very difficult to answer. And I would guess that it's somewhere over 200 million. But I can also guess that if it allowed us to expand our carrying capacity by 500,000 cruise ship passengers per year at $1,000 a head, marginal margin, that's $500 million in 1 year. The aggregate cruise ship industry could buy us the light rail transit system that would allow them to operate and us to be happy at their operation at 1.5 million passengers, which is probably on the books someplace in some management suite someplace for the cruise ship industry. They're looking at, they'd like 1.5 million in 2022 or something. So I think those are our two options. I'm sorry I can't answer your question. I won't try.
No, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Lee. That's the last of who's signed up. Is there anybody else wish to speak to item I? Mr. Heumann. Please state your name and address, please.
Bill Heumann, 6000 Thane Road. So I'm going to try and make this within 2 minutes before the buzzer goes off. So I've been an owner of real estate property down in South Franklin since about 1983, back when the ferry terminal was down there. So I've seen a lot of this change take place over many years, and it's dramatic. And a couple things that come up first that I want to speak about is the Seawalk is a really important element of this. And in my mind, the Seawalk is there, but it's been underutilized, and it's slowly becoming more so. There's been changes since the new dock up by the library. But prior to that, we had TSA with all their yellow fences down there, and we couldn't even use the dock at all, you know, barely use the dock. And now that's been eliminated, and we have more space for people to walk, for locals. And what we need to do, in my mind, is to get that part of the traffic corridor developed further. And I think it's important in terms of getting traffic off of South Franklin Street. So I'm in favor of this. I recognize that I have the potential of suffering lower rents, more competition. I think with the growth of the tourism passengers that'll come back to a balance as it gets absorbed, and so I have to wait around for that to happen. But I also have a very strong feeling that we who have should not stand in the way of further development just because it helps us competitively, and that's important to me. There's also a big economic benefit that we're all aware of in Juneau with the tourism industry, and I'm particularly concerned about the budget, the $1 billion or so that they want to cut. So anyway, get past that. The other specific point I wanted to speak to quickly is I don't see any reason why you would not want to receive $190,000 for a small concession on relative to their right to object to certain uses in a very specific area of the dock. And I wouldn't get hung up on that. I, as a property owner, don't live in fear of those kinds of activities in front of my building, and I doubt it's likely to happen, and I think you have a chance to pocket $190,000. So I say, why not? But thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Heumann? Mrs. Stream.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think you said you are a Thane resident, is that correct?
Yes.
I'm just curious if, as a Thane resident, how you feel about this possible impact on traffic.
I think it's probably going to help, but I travel through there every day, and I think maybe getting from the tram to Centennial Hall takes me 3 minutes more in the summer, possibly, if it's that much. I think that's blown way out of proportion. I always tell people, think about what it's like if you have to drive around in Seattle. this is nothing. We're spoiled up here as far as I'm concerned. And so, but it's the, you know, it just doesn't take a lot more time to drive through. So it's not a problem for me.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Hume? All right, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other member of the public that wishes to speak on item I? All right. We will move to the assembly then. We'll start back at the other end. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that Ordinance 2019-02, an ordinance authorizing the city manager to execute a purchase and sale agreement with Archipelago Properties, be moved for adoption, and with this project developing the last undeveloped waterfront area in a manner that's consistent with the waterfront development plan, I would ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Bryce. Any objection? Mr.
I will
Jones,
object.
Do you wish to speak to your objection?
I do. and hopefully the mayor will give me a little latitude. I've given this a lot of thought, and what I'm going to say is going to spill over to some of the other ordinances, and I may be more than my 2 minutes.
Mr. Jones asked for permission prior to this, just so everyone knows. we'll give you a slight latitude.
I appreciate that. I had to actually sit down and write up notes. I sometimes talk off the cuff, and sometimes I make sense, and sometimes I don't. Maybe tonight I'll make a little bit more sense. I really struggled with this ordinance. And I'm really leaning on voting yes on this one ordinance, simply because I think the lot line changes could be really important for us, for the Morris Communications, for us to own a 50-foot swath right down the middle of land. It might have served a purpose at one other time. But there's a lot in the purchase and sale agreement, and there's a lot in the Archipelago project that gives me real pause. I know people are interested in the right of refusal. I think Mr. Heumann hit it on the head. Morris Communications is willing to pay us $194,000 to tell us we can't have a t-shirt shop because he has three of them. Fine, take the $194,000 and we'll work out the disagreements later. But what does give me pause, and if you will all look at attachment A of the property and sale agreement, and look at items 10 and 11, it really, really gives me some pause. Under 10,
can you give a page number?
It's page 59 of the packet. It's attachment A to the ordinance, and it's page 2 of 8. You look at the bottom, page 59, if you look at the top. But 10 is a construction easement for 10 months. She's basically telling us to get our butts in gear and construct this project, and I'm not sure we agree that we want to construct the project or that the construction of this project is warranted. But if we agree with the purchase and sale agreement, we've got some timelines. If you look at number 11, it gives the city and borough of Juneau till March 29, 2019. That's 2 months from now. To basically to appropriate funding for the transportation staging, shuttle parking, and deck over of the project, to advertise such project to bid, and to order construction material. One of which, ordering the construction material, is an ordinance before us tonight. And we really haven't talked about this as an assembly, outside of committee, whether or not we think this is the right project or not. So my basic question is, why so fast? Many in the public are questioning our future of the cruise industry. We have too much? Is it too fast? At what cost to Juneau? We've heard some testimony tonight about the carrying capacity, and do we have a plan? Do we have an idea what's going to happen? You know, if the cruise industry wants to go to 1.5 million, you think about that. You know, we have a town of 32,000 people. There are days when passengers and crews is 18,000. That means our population in this town and the demand on services in this town, the demand on traffic, the demand to the water treatment system, to the water system, to the electric grid, you know, is a 50% increase. That's horrendous in some places and other places, it certainly adds to the sales tax. Last May, this assembly, in approving the budget, approved an additional $75,000 to JEDC. And the minutes don't really reflect what for, but I think JEDC thinks they were given money to look at one of the projects they proposed, which was a visitor industry growth, ensure the growth of tourism is positive to Juneau. I know from sitting in a lot of meetings, they're just at the start of trying to look at that. JEDC also sponsors and works with the Visitors Product Cluster, which is an industry group. Mr. Day chairs the committee. I've been to a lot of those meetings. That's one of the things they're trying to deal with. For any of you who want to know, at 1:30 on Wednesday afternoon, they have their next meeting. On their agenda is community cruise tourism growth. That's what they're going to talk about. TPMB, Blueprint Juneau, the DOT project on Egan, and the Archipelago project. They're not talking philosophically what's good for the community. Can we have a carrying capacity? But that's what they're doing. Tourism best management practices, as Mr. Day is involved, he said 22. I thought it was like 25 years, but maybe 22. He's out asking the industry, do they have the right policies in place to handle $1.3 million, given that these were written and then updated as we have grown, but are they doing the right thing for that size of a capacity? And I'm not sure that we as the assembly or the community itself has even asked those questions, let alone come up with answers that we might be happy with.
Mr. Jones, just speed it up just a bit.
I got a lot to say, and I'll try. Dockson Harbors has a proposal out there for small cruise ship master plan. We have a growth in small cruise ships. They can't use the big docks now. They had one bidder. It's like the old thing. It's the same people bid on the same thing, and maybe they have the same idea. I don't know. But it seems to me that we, in signing this agreement, are going to put us down a path where if we opt to not approve all the rest of it, we're going to put ourselves in a bind, because this says, this purchase and sale agreement, if we don't do the next steps, they have the right to come in and repurchase the property back. I have some real problems with that. We build the uplands for the cruise industry. Can we limit growth? Do we allow for an artificial division in our town that after a certain point, you know, we're Juneau year-round, and at a certain point, we're Juneau only for the summer, and we just close it on down? And I think we're close to that now. We sort of like the Red Dog, maybe a little bit past the parking garage. You know, we've self-divided our town to a year-round part of town and a non-year-round part of town. So I just think that we are at a crossroads, and this project may be the one in which we either decide, without a lot of studying, without a lot of thought, and without a lot of agreement of the community, to push ahead on this one project, or we say, wait a second, let's slow down, let's think about this, let's deal with the impact. We got a couple of years of more bottlenecks. Maybe that pushes us over, but I'm afraid we're going to end up, as Mr. Day is afraid of, that we'll go back into the 70s and 80s when we fought over tourism. Because we will have reached a capacity that none of us want, and that none of us understand the consequences of that. And my last comment is, we're one stop on a cruise tour. Years ago, cruises used to come up here, and people would get off, they catch a plane, they go north. We had people in Juneau actually get on a cruise ship and go back to Seattle. Can't do that anymore. These are non-turnarounds. We go to $1.5 million, where else are they going to go? You know, Ketchikan handle $1.5 million? Can Skagway handle $1.5 million? Can Hoonah handle $1.5 million? Can Glacier Bay handle $1.5 million? What if we're the only port that can handle $1.5 million? Is the cruise industry going to leave Seattle or Vancouver, come to Juneau and go home, and not go to Glacier Bay and not go other places if those other places don't have the capacity to handle these ships? I don't know the answer to that, and I'm not sure that the cruise industry knows the answer to that. And so for me, I think this locks us into actions that I'm not quite ready to go to. So if I do eventually vote yes on this, which I might, it's just simply, hopefully, to straighten out some of the property lines, give us some flexibility if and when we decide that this is really important for us to increase the carrying capacity. And I appreciate the mayor giving me time. I had a lot more to say, but I will yield to your wanting me to be done quicker. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Bryson.
Can I speak to my motion?
Yes, you may.
All right. So I did mention that it develops the last undeveloped waterfront area in a manner that is consistent with our commercial waterfront development plan. This will decrease the amount of tourism congestion. This facility, as Mr. Day pointed out, is going to be able to handle 1,500 to 1,800 people that won't be milling around downtown trying to find where they're supposed to catch their bus. They'll know exactly where to do it. It increases the tourism cash flow. If the Archipelago project is built with shops and additional restaurants, then those are going to be able to capture additional dollars, hopefully raising the average dollar amount that each tourism or tourist is able to leave here in Juneau. When Mr. Heumann pointed out that more retail and restaurant spaces could lower possible rents. Divided line that you mentioned, Mr. Jones, actually includes some of the most expensive rental property in the entire community. By allowing additional facilities to be built there, it could quite potentially lower the rents, which will create more opportunity for local Juneau business owners or potential Juneau business owners. Right now, we have a food cart area that has a dirt floor. It's a little tacky for as fancy or as glorious as our city is as a tourism destination. Allowing the Archipelago project to go forward, when they complete it, we'll have a much classier, much more sophisticated, modern food facilities that will give the impression that Juneau is worthy of that. It will also give plenty of increased public restrooms. There's definitely a shortfall of restrooms in the downtown corridor for tours, and this plan has plenty of restrooms. The Archipelago project itself, not including the parking spaces, because I couldn't get access to how much fees are charged to the individual buses that will be able to park there, but the additional tours that those those buses will take them to are going to be tax revenue generators. But just doing some off-the-cuff estimating, the Archipelago project itself will add $500,000 to $750,000 money to straight to Juneau's tax rolls. So it is an economic incentive for the city to move forward with this. This creates an increased economy. It puts a $23 million project on the books, and the reason for the speed is that it's not like we're snapped our fingers. This project has been taking place, I would imagine, over, maybe this is a question for the Mr. Manager, for at least 2 years that this project has been under discussion or under development. So for spending 2 years on it, figuring out all the stuff, if we say yes tonight, we can have a giant, the largest project in Juneau could start happening this summer. So we're able to positively move our economy forward. We're able to handle the increased tourism traffic, because if there's more shops in the tourism corridor, if there's more restaurants and there's more bus staging facility in the tourism corridor, then that will reduce the congestion and the feel when you're in the core of downtown. So the citizens of Juneau that are concerned about being inundated with tourists, this handles that. It absorbs a lot of those people. So we have a giant economic boost to our community, handles the problem of a growing tourism industry without squeezing the individual Juneau taxpayer, because we're using head tax, passenger fees, and port development fees. So we're able to get a great project for Juneau without taxing the citizens of Juneau. I'm extremely in favor of this because I see it is a win-win-win for every entity and organization and individual that lives here in Juneau. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Mr. Manager, do you want to speak to the timing of the project, followed by Ms. Treem and Ms. Hale?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would say at least 2 years. I mean, formally, I think we started planning for the docks in 2004, and it took us 12 years or 13 years before they came online, and it was always presumed there would be additional elements of shoreside support. So maybe 2 years is the formal short view of this planning process, but in reality, this project, I think, it fits in the waterfront plan going back to 2004 of providing the infrastructure necessary for the industry.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Ms. Treem.
I wonder if Ms. Hale might like to speak before I somewhat
derail
our,
us all.
Before I derail us all.
Thank you, Ms. Treem. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Ms. Treem, and thank you, Madam Mayor. I believe that Mr. Jones raised some valid points about tourism for us all to consider. We know that tourism has impacts, and we suspect that the increase in tourism will also have impacts. And you raised some, Mr. Jones, raised some valid points for us to consider. And Ms. Hart earlier also raised some valid points and suggestions for us as an assembly and as a community to consider. But I do not believe that a long vacant lot is the vehicle for that conversation. This lot has been vacant for many years. I lived right across the street from the lot for many years and have seen many different projects and attempts at using that lot or developing that lot come and go. It's not been the city's practice to encourage lots to remain vacant. We have worked very hard to try to encourage other developments downtown. And I really believe that if we have a project that some thought has been put into, I believe we should move forward with that project like this one. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hale. Ms. Treem?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I do have a problem with this right to object clause, and so I would like to move to amend sections 5D and 5A5 of the ordinance to prohibit buying a portion of Lot 1 with Archipelago's right to object to certain development. And I think Mr. Palmer has copies of this, I hope.
Do you have the page of?
Well, I actually, hopefully this handout will help.
Page 4 or 5?
It's section 5B and 5A.
You're handing out an amendment. Section 5.
So it's page 56 of our packet.
I'd like to speak to that, if I may.
Please do so, Ms. Treem. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I understand that in other waterfront development projects, there are concessions or incentives that have been given to make these projects a little better, and I don't object to that, the existence of those. I object to this specific one for a couple of reasons. The biggest reason is that it is perpetual, will exist in perpetuity. And I think that is just too long, this encumbrance on the land that would give the owner of that land the right to object to possible uses, I think specifically commercial uses. I think that this would bind future assemblies. We're making this decision tonight, but this would forever, eternally bind assemblies on what they can do on this portion of land. And if you want that perpetual, eternal, forever right to object, I think it's worth a lot more than $194,000. I don't think that's nearly enough for this right to object forever. I'm also worried about this setting a precedent for future CBJ land deals. I'm not sure if this has ever been included in a CBJ land deal. Maybe Mr. Palmer or Mr. Manager would know.
I am not aware of a project that has this type of language. There are other land transactions that the city has had. I could think of one in Auk Bay that have some interesting encumbrances on them on view sheds, but I'm not aware of anything quite like this.
Okay. And then finally, I think that this is distorting a free market in a way these other incentives and concessions and have not done. I think a free market means a free market, and we would be giving Morris Communications this right, this incentive, this thing that no other Juneau business would have. And I don't think that is something that the Assembly should be involved in. I don't think that's something the Assembly should do. And it just gives too much power to this private property owner. And we have a good relationship with Morris Communications, but this locks us into that relationship with the Uplands owner forever. And I don't agree that we should do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Green. Any objections to the amendment? Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I'm going to object. I understand all of the issues. I think this, guided by some good principles, I just think whenever the city might get around to doing something other besides the deck over, negotiations will fix this, and we will have decreased the cost to us, its actual cost to Morris. And just remind people that we're going to argue over this. We're going to willing to pay $194,000 more when the purchase and sale agreement puts some real strict deadlines on us, but never guarantees that Morris will do a thing on their property. We put in the retaining wall. We do the deck over. We do this. We do that. There's nothing in the purchase and sale agreement that says they do anything. And so to pay them or cost us an additional $194,000, because maybe 10 years from now we might put something on the dock that might interfere with maybe their business if they develop anything, take $194,000 and deal with it in 10 years and when the issue comes up.
Thank
so
you,
I'm going to object.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Bryson.
Yes. I was worried when I first heard this because I knew it would give everybody a whole bunch of pause. I don't see it as big a deal as binding future assemblies. What I think it does is it protects future assemblies and it protects future business owners that own and operate businesses here in Juneau. As Ms. Treen pointed out, that she doesn't know of any business that has this. And businesses that fail to include some type of competition clause can pay an extreme price for it. And I think I've mentioned the previous example of the Wee Fishies guys who did not have a non-competition clause, and it eventually put them out of business. This area was designed to be an open area, and kind of holding future assemblies that we said we wanted this nice big open area, I don't see it as binding. I say it encourages what our view and vision is now and protects businesses in the future. And it's only a right to object. It doesn't mean if we have a party there or we have an event there that they will object. It just prevents or allows their objection if the city thinks that it can do something that would be harmful to that property or the businesses that reside in that property. So it is a protective thing for people that are going to live and work here in Juneau. But in terms of determining what the Archipelago Group can do, as long as they build something that is waterfront commercial, we might not ever vote or see what their project is, because if they do a building that satisfies waterfront commercial, it won't even go past the Planning Commission because it's a waterfront commercial already. So if the city of or the assembly wants to dictate what buildings can be built on waterfront commercial property, we address that through zoning and the Planning Commission, I think, is the course of action if we want to change zoning to determine what buildings can be built where. So I would have to object to that motion of striking that.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bryson. Ms. Glashevsky, Ms. Trim, I'm just giving other people an opportunity to talk.
Can I correct?
No. Ms. Glashevsky?
Just briefly, I agree with Ms. Trim. Initially, I objected to any encumbrance on our land, but the more I thought about it, I've actually, you know, it's $200,000. I was trying to think of a scenario that the city would actually do something that was objectionable. And we are not in the business of putting a business there. So, I mean, the only thing that we're going to do there that we've thought of is a public space, a place for a concert, a covered something. I don't know what we would do there. So that's why I've come around. That's all. I agree in theory, but $200,000, as they say, is $200,000.
Anybody else? Ms. Trim, now you got to correct me.
I just want to gently correct you, Mr. Bryson. I didn't say I don't know of any businesses without this kind of clause. I was saying I don't know if there are any CBJ land deals where we've bought or sold land and included this kind of encumbrance. So that's what I say.
Thank you for the clarification, Ms. Trim.
And to answer Ms. Gladstessy's question, food trucks. I want more food trucks everywhere. I want a taco cart on every corner. And that's the kind of thing that I see possibly being put on this land.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I support this. And the reason that I support it, I mean, I've dealt with land issues that the only decision point was at 55 years. And the only thing that we could do is either object at the owner's option or do nothing at all. So basically, people get 110-year leases, and the government can't do anything about it. So what's going to happen on this? What is this going to prevent? We have no idea. No idea at all. We have no idea what ideas people are going to come up with to generate cash, entrepreneurs, you know, people maybe trying to start a first business. No idea at all. So we can't sit here and say that this isn't going to have a big effect. Anybody who's dealt with land deals knows that any kind of encumbrance could stop inventiveness, could stop initiative. And it really doesn't sound like a good deal. We're here to represent 32,000 people, not just a small group who want to do something, but a big group who might want to do something someday. So I think that's a pretty low price for what we would be giving up.
Thank you, Mr. Everson. Mm-hmm. Ms. Hughes-Scandies.
I'll keep it pretty brief. I just want to register my support for this as well. I don't think the value reduction matches the amount of time, as Ms. Trim said. And I would just say, the same way we don't know what future assemblies may come up with, somebody referenced already our artificial division of our town. It's hard for me to envision what the city might want to do there, but in principle, at some time, we might want to change that. And is it unlikely that it would involve this very specific lot? Probably, but just in principle, I support this.
Thank you. Ms. Hale.
Thank you. I will call attention to page 61 of the packet, and it's the paragraph at the top, the main paragraph at the top of the page. The end of that paragraph says, in the event of objection, the two parties will work in good faith to attempt to resolve the objectionable issues. Archipelago's approval shall not be unreasonably withheld, provided the above conditions are met. So that's in the agreement. And to me, what that says is Archipelago is not just going to willy-nilly object to anything that the city does, and if they do, we've got this language in the agreement to prevent that from happening. So this is a good faith paragraph. This means that we will both operate in good faith. Thank you.
but I just wanted to say that I always thought what they were possibly going to protest was if we went into competition with them. And I think that's what I've been told was the conversation. And I think this pretty much covers, almost says, don't go in competition with us because we're not going to want you to. And I think that's not surprising. So I'm not sure we'll get those food carts. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see if we'll get them or not. So I'm not opposed to this.
All right. Well, I think everybody's had a chance to talk. So it's my turn. Because I'm going to object for a little bit different reason. But I appreciate the fact that Ms. Treem brought forward an amendment. One of the main reasons I like this project is the deck over, which is basically the extension of the dock, and it provides us free space. Lots of space to put people. And I, too, as Ms. Gladyszewski and some of you others have said, had paused when I first saw this, and I had a few endless discussions with Mr. Attorney, and he pointed out the section that Ms. Hale read, and so I was a little bit relieved to hear that. So I think that while they have a right to object, it's not a totally binding right to object, and we can still work it out. But again, my vision of this process is to keep open space there through eternity, so I don't want anything built there anyway. I want it to be open. It'd be open for concerts. It'd be a big space that the community can gather as well as the tourists. I take out my public safety background. If you need to evacuate a ship, that's going to be a great place to put people. So anyway, that's my reason for objection. So, and I believe everybody has talked, so we could probably call the vote on the amendment. Would you please state the amendment, Madam Clerk?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The amendment... The motion is to amend sections 5D and 5A of the ordinance to prohibit buying a portion of Lot 1 with Archipelago's right to object. Do you want me to read the full text?
No. Thank you, though. Thank you for your willingness to do so. All right. Would you please call the roll?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Ms. Treem?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Hale?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Mr. Bryson?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Hughes-Scandes?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
No.
Motion fails.
All right, so that brings us back to the main motion. And I've honestly lost track a little bit. Does anybody else have any objections to the main motion? All right. Seeing and hearing none. Madam.
Mr. Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones. I missed your hand.
I just wanted to make sure that you knew I still objected.
Yep. I was going to call the roll.
So. And I do so because I'm still debating whether I'm going to vote.
You don't have that much time.
You want me to duck? I'll stall if you want.
No, it's okay.
All right. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Scandes?
Yes.
Ms. Treem?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, so before we move on to J, let's take till 9:15 and have a break. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. Rocks and you are doing.
Yeah.
She does.
Banging.
Well, I only took us an hour, so let's move on to Jay. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Sorry, I have to find which page we're on.
Uh-oh, where's my...
Ordinance 2018-11-S. An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $11 million as funding for the downtown waterfront improvement project. Funding provided by cruise passenger vessel excise tax, port development fees, marine passenger fees funds fund balance, and dock funds fund balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, this ordinance and transfer 1007K and bid award, materials procurement item L, are all related to the ordinance that you just passed, that ordinance 2019-02. In the case of this one where the clerk just read the title, Docks and Harbors proposes construction of a downtown transportation staging area and expanded waterfront open space deck over project in support of the cruise passenger growth in Juneau. The project includes a land exchange and results in a net purchase of approximately 0.4 acres of additional property. The project would be constructed in two phases over the course of 24 months. Total estimated project cost is $23.5 million. Finance Director has developed a funding package which would include sufficient resources to complete the proposed project. Phase one improvements would cost $20.5 million and include the purchase of necessary property and the project cost of the first phase of construction project. First phase of construction would include pilings and installed decks and surface improvements. Phase two, if funded at a later date by the Assembly, would include covered passenger shelter with restrooms. The proposal draws from a variety of funds, including cruise passenger vessel excise tax, marine passenger fees, port development fees, dock fund balance, and waterfront land acquisition CIP. The funding for phase one consists of $3.5 million of funds already appropriated, appropriating $11 million via this ordinance, and the next item on the agenda, $6 million of passenger fees to be transferred in from other CIPs. I recommend you adopt this ordinance appropriating $11 million.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to item J? Not seeing any rush to speak, we'll move it to the Assembly. Ms. Hale.
Madam Mayor, I move that the Assembly adopt 2018-11S, and I would like to make one small question about that. Mr. Manager, a question has arisen about the funding for this and the request that you had sent out some time ago asking for proposals for spending marine passenger vessel funding, and whether that's the money that we're talking about spending here. Can you clarify that for us, please?
Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, yes. The funding in this ordinance has already been collected in prior fiscal years, and we have the open solicitation or the unanswered solicitation for requests for funding for this current fiscal year of marine passenger fees, for which we have not yet put out a funding list. So that list will come out for this upcoming fiscal year appropriation. And this ordinance before you right now appropriates funds from prior collections.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
All right, Mr. Edwardson.
I don't know if at the objection stage, but if we are, I would object for discussion.
Okay.
My question.
There's been no motion to move.
I thought she made a motion.
I did.
Yeah.
Before she asked her question, she made a
okay.
Motion.
Okay.
Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My question would be for this one, and it's probably going to be for the next few also. If this weren't approved, would we be defaulting on Ordinance 2019-02?
Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, I would not use the word default. If this was not approved and the Assembly did not approve other funding mechanism, then in the purchase and sale agreement authorized under 2019-02, the seller of property would potentially exercise clauses in that purchase and sale agreement for reconveyance.
Thank you. I remove my objection.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Mr. Jones.
If he removed his objection, I'll add mine.
Would you wish to speak to your objection?
I do, and I'll be very brief this time. This is the first spot of spending $23 million to gain 12, 13 parking spots and a bunch open deck that we have little plans for. And still no guarantee that the Archipelago project or the Morris portion of the project would be done. And I sort of don't agree with the manager's portrayal of today's letter from CLIA. And I would quote, "We are considering an agreement not to object to this particular project as part of a broader settlement on any continuing dispute between CLIA and the CBJ." That is not they're withdrawing their objection to this project, not in my mind anyway. But, you know, this is transferring money in that we've already collected to start spending $20 million, potentially $23 million, for open space that I'm not convinced will serve the community of Juneau. So I'm going to object.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Glashevsky.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to talk about this purchase and sale agreement. If the funds aren't appropriated, we wouldn't sign the purchase and sale agreement. So then there's nothing, you couldn't sign it because you don't have any money to do it, as opposed to defaulting. I'm just talking about the process here, that's all.
Okay, Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, so I guess my formal answer would be there are sufficient funds to sign the purchase and sale agreement for the $922,000, but there would be insufficient funds to complete the envisioned construction project.
Right.
And if the Assembly did not complete the appropriation of these funds, the owner's representative is in the audience, so I would not have to convey to them that we had a new issue to work on. So I'm guessing it would come back to the Assembly in some fashion.
Thank you.
Mr. Jones?
No, I was going to say what the manager said.
All right, thank you. Any further objections or discussion? All right, we have a motion and an objection. Madam Mayor, call roll.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the motion to adopt Ordinance 2018-11-S, Ms. Hale.
Yes.
Ms. Becker.
Yes.
Mr. Bryson.
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson.
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski.
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Scandies.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
No.
Ms. Treen.
Yes.
Mayor Weldon.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Item K. I'll give you a minute to scribble.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk.
Transfer 1007, a transfer of $6 million from Stadter Harbor Improvements Phase 3 and Open Space Waterfront Land Acquisition Capital Improvement Projects to Marine Park to Taku Uplands Improvement Capital Improvement Project.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
Transfer T1007 transfers $4.5 million of state cruise passenger vessel excise tax from Stadter Harbor Improvements Phase 3 and $1.5 million of CBJ marine passenger fees from Open Space Land Acquisition Fund to the Marine Park to Taku Uplands Improvement Project. This appropriation is part of the funding package along with the Ordinance 2018-11-S that you just passed that would be partial funding to implement the intent of the purchase and sale agreement of 2019-02 that you just passed. Along with the $11 million via 2018-11-S and the $3.5 million of funds already appropriated, this would complete the package for this project. I recommend this transfer be approved.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Ms. Hughes-Gandies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Excuse me. Sorry. Any member of the public wish to speak to item K? Seeing and hearing that. Ms. Hughes-Gandies.
I move transfer T-1007 and ask unanimous consent.
Any objections?
I object.
Would you wish to speak to your objection?
No.
Any further objection? Mr. Edwardson?
I object.
Would you choose to speak to your objection?
What I've said earlier applies to this as well, but I will point out a couple of things. We're talking $23.5 million. And Mr. Bryson mentioned earlier that we could get, $500,000 a year on property tax. So basically on year 48, we would be making a profit.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Ms. Treem?
I would like to speak to that, although I'm going to vote for this transfer and the other ordinances before us. I understand that this is going to be a very expensive parking lot, but we are spending MPF and PDF and CPV money on this, and so why not build this parking lot and deck over space? So that's what I have to say. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Dream. Mr. Jones.
I understand Ms. Stream's position that it's a lot easier to spend other people's money if we define it as other people's money. But this is a project that we are collecting from people who come to Juneau for an experience of being in Alaska, not being in LA or Long Beach or San Francisco or some other place that has a whole bunch of flat spots and entertainment. I agree. It's easier to spend other people's money, but we ought to spend it with a policy in mind, and we're not doing that tonight.
Thank you. Ms. Glashevsky.
I'll just speak to that regarding the experience of being in Alaska. I think this will enhance their experience of being in Alaska to get them out of town to go on their tour and not be stuck in traffic. So I think this is a good use of the money. I wholeheartedly agree that we need to have the conversation about carrying capacity and all of those things that are, it's time for our community to have those conversations again. But this will prevent increased conflict in the meantime while we are having those conversations. Thank you.
Make one last comment. I promise it'll be my last one.
Okay. I'm giving you quite a bit of leeway there, Mr. Jones.
You approve this project tonight. You're going to have a fence around that property for 2 construction years. In 2 years, we could be having this conversation and find out that that was a big mistake. It's not like we can have the conversation and fix that. And that is a 2-year project. It's not going to fix this summer. It's not going to fix next summer. Maybe not even fix the 3rd summer. We could have a lot of conversations before we get to that.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Jones. Okay, I missed down there who raised their hand first. We'll start with Hughes Scandies, so they're all pointing at you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to register earlier, Mr. Edwards discussed wanting to feel that there was a clear public good, and some of the testimony we've heard tonight talked about, making sure that it benefits our local population and not just focused on the tourism industry. I want to point out that this project, some of the trades industries were in the room tonight, that's going to create long-term positive effects for the Juneau population. It's a big project, and those are people, locals, who are going to be working on that. And at a time right now when they're sort of hemorrhaging, there's not a lot of big projects, and people are moving to Washington. So keeping that population in town is going to be one of the other effects of contributing to this project, especially since we don't know what kind of capital projects we can expect from the state. And while I share the trepidation of everything, I won't restate people have said tonight about carrying capacity in the larger conversation. It's my personal opinion that if we were having that conversation tonight about should we build this dock to bring in these mega ships, that would be a more appropriate time. But the cat is now out of the bag. So we sort of need this secondary piece. And let alone the traffic downtown, this is going to make a huge difference. I'm not looking forward to those fences either, but in the pedestrian traffic when this is all said and done. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's an expensive project, so we're talking about $23.5 million. Those numbers weren't arrived at lightly. It simply is an expensive project, and it's an expensive place to develop. We're talking, Mr. Jones has spoken of a two-year fence, but there has been a decades-long empty lot there. There's been a vacant lot that our tourists see, and it depends on the year. Sometimes it looks really ugly, and sometimes there's some fun stuff there. I don't think they come here to see a vacant lot either. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Ms. Becker?
I also wanted to make a comment about the fence. I think there's a law about that. When you're doing construction, you have to fence off places. I don't object to fence off places when there's construction being done because it's a safety issue. So I'm not sure why we're even fussing about that. I don't think we should.
Any further comment? Mr. Edwardson?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I like this project, and it may seem like I don't. I like the project. I think it'd be a fantastic addition to the waterfront. My problem is I don't think it's a public project. I don't think we're talking about if we get this money from the cruise ships, why not spend it? Well, we have a public trust regardless of where our money comes from. We have a fiduciary responsibility to spend things on the stuff that they're supposed to be spent on. And I'm not saying that this isn't. What I am saying is it hasn't been proven to me that it has a public interest, that it's a benefit to the entire Juneau population, all of the people that we're representing. It doesn't have a public purpose. It's clearly not for all of the people in Juneau. So where's that line? What separates this? What makes this project different than any other private project? And what makes that other private project not entitled to us spending money on it? So like I said, I'm not against the project. I just don't think it's a public project.
Okay. We'll go Mr. Bryson, Ms. Hale, and Ms. Gladyszewski.
So I only have 2 points to make. Whether we begin the project right now or if we began a different project in 5 years, there would still be a construction phase. The one thing that we haven't mentioned tonight that the Morris Group is providing a benefit to the city of Juneau. They're allowing us to use their property, and I didn't see where we were charged for being able to stage the construction for the first and second phase of the project. We're able to use their property as staging ground for the construction of this property. If that land was not available for the staging, we would have to use water staging areas, and I bet you there's an expert that could testify to this, but that could increase the cost of the project 10, 20, 30% if they have to stage the things in the water, as opposed to Morris Group is just letting us use the land for free. Downtown land is expensive, so we say this project is expensive, but we're actually creating square footage of downtown property that does not exist right now. It's a big old giant hole and it's just water. Whereas at the completion of this project, we'll have more square footage of our downtown property. And I don't know if anybody's ever gone downtown on the night of the 3rd of July, prior to the 4th of July. I'm pretty sure that a large percentage of the population uses the dock space. And so at the very least, that's one event where this facility will benefit the entirety of the Juneau population.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson, and I apologize. I misspoke. It wasn't Ms. Hale. It was Ms. Dream.
Now?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. You caught me off guard.
Sorry.
Okay. I was going to talk about, I know that I'm not saying that we just spend this money without putting any thought into it, but we who have been in executive session
after every meeting until 11 o'clock know very acutely that we can't just spend this money on anything. And I think it's not as if a lot of thought has not been put into this project, and we have seen that it's got a lot of support from different groups. And so I would like to clarify that I'm not saying we just toss our money around willy-nilly.
Thank you, Ms. Tring. Ms. Blaszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to respond regarding public purpose and benefit to taxpayers. The funds used here are collected from cruise passengers and are to benefit to provide necessary services to the vessel. So that's the standard, not benefit to Juneau taxpayers, as another member suggested. So that's, I just want to clarify, this is a different kind of money, and we have to be careful with all the money that we collect as fees from passengers or revenue taxes from residents, and they need to be used for the appropriate purpose and with long processes, which we've had. So, and that's all. I just wanted to clarify that these funds are not being used to benefit Juneau taxpayers. It's service to the vessel and the passengers on the vessel. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, and I agree with Ms. Gladyszewski. If the Assembly approves this project, I do believe that it's an appropriate use of the funding. But I don't think that that's the only appropriate use of the funding. I think it's tax dollars. I think it's, you know, fees for the benefit of the people of Juneau. So inherent in using it to benefit the ships, to help service the ships, it also has to be of service to the community. And I'm not saying it's not. I'll go along with the Assembly, whatever the Assembly decides. I'm one vote of nine. What I'm saying is the public purpose, the public interest, hasn't been proven to me.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, I'll object for the purpose of a question. Okay, so we're on item K, and it's a transfer. So what does transferring $6 million away from the Stader Harbor improvements mean to Stader Harbor? That's my question, because that is a public dock, pretty much. So,
Madam Mayor, the Stader Harbor project, due to permitting conditions, has gone quite slowly. And I would also say that we have not analyzed that project in light of Judge Holland's recent ruling, and whether or not that may be construed as a service to the vessel. I think the project is a very worthy project, is a very good project, but we have not done legal analysis in light of Judge Holland's recent ruling. So I think in terms of timing and permitting, the project is not ripe. In terms of legal analysis on appropriateness of funds, we have not made that analysis in light of the ruling, and this project is ready. And as I've stated in the manager's report, I believe it is a service to the vessel. So we're recommending we use the funds in this project at this time. And we will undoubtedly take up the Stader Harbor project at another date.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Manager. All right. I think I will withdraw my objection. So we are ready for a vote. Since we have a motion and objection. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the motion to approve transfer T1007, Ms. Hughes-Scandes.
Yes.
Ms. Hale.
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski.
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson.
No.
Mr. Bryson.
Yes.
Ms. Becker.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
No.
Ms. Treen.
Yes.
Mayor Weldon.
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, that brings us to item L. Clerk.
Bid award downtown waterfront improvements, materials procurement.
Mr. Mann.
This bid award is for material program procurement for the downtown waterfront improvements project at the Archipelago property. The materials sought are long lead time items. Procuring them now will assure that the desired construction schedule is met. Bids were opened on this project on January 15, 2019. I recommend approval of the bid to Island Contractors in the amount of $783,820.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. I think it's Ms. Treem's turn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Do I move to award this or approve this, or how do I say this?
Approve the award.
Okay. I move to approve the award of this bid to Island Contractors in the amount of $783,820 and ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. All right. Item M, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
It's been a long night, yes.
Ordinance 2018-11Z, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of up to $200,000 as funding for visitor information kiosk replacement capital improvement project. Funding provided by the DOC funds fund balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
Docks and Harbors Board requests approval to transfer $200,000 from the DOCS fund balance for construction of a new visitor information kiosk. Current kiosk is over 40 years old, has several safety deficiencies, and does not meet ADA requirements. The kiosk is beyond repair and needs to be replaced. Proposed funding would replace CBJ marine passenger fees current remaining in the account. Those funds would be transferred to another project under a separate action. DOCS fund balance is currently $4 million. Docks and Harbors Board considered this item at its regular meeting on December 20, 2018, and adopted a motion to recommend the Assembly approve this appropriation ordinance. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? All right, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt ordinance 2018-11Z, and I recommend unanimous consent.
Any objections? Mr. Jones.
For a question. The ordinance we're approving is up to $200,000. The bid was $163,000. It's the extra money, a contingency fund.
Madam Mayor, I'll try, and I see the thumbs up from Mr. Yucatel, so I assume it is the remaining project costs and contingency for the project, and he is nodding his head affirmatively.
Follow-up question? Or a different question? I must admit, with all my evening meetings, I sometimes don't watch all the TV I do, but, you know, 400 square feet, tiny homes, are being built for $60,000. The kiosk we have down here is hell of a lot less than 400 square feet. What makes this worth $163,000 so that you can wheel a wheelchair into a door or somebody with crutches can get in to make it ADA? I mean, $163,000 to replace what we have down there just seems obscene.
Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, I am not familiar with the details of the project, and if we could rely on Mr. Yucatel to provide that information, that would be helpful.
The best I can answer, Mr. Jones, is we hired Judge Yorbalot, architects, the lead planners, designers. We're looking for something that is that pops on the waterfront. It's ADA compliant. It has a heating and a heating element that it doesn't have now. It'll be a nice aspect on the waterfront. We anticipated $150,000 was our budget when we went into this project.
We can disagree on that one.
Any further discussion? So, Mr. Jones, is that an objection?
Madam Mayor, at this point, no. I just think it's an obscene amount of money, and somebody ought to look into the, whether we're building a steel thing or doing something out of 2x4 construction. It's a lot of money for a bunch of wood.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Any other comments from the assembly?
Just one. I've worked in the kiosk a lot. Not recently, but for many years before. You will be happy if you have heat, some windows that block out the rain. That kiosk is closed when the weather gets terribly bad. So we need to have it be a place that our volunteers will not get sick because they've sat in it too long. So I'm in favor of having a nice kiosk or heat or whatever else we have. Thank you.
Any further discussion? I will object. I don't need to speak to my objection because I share Mr. Jones' view. So, please call the roll.
Madam Mayor. Mr. Edwardson.
Yes.
Ms. Lettischewski.
Yes.
Ms. Hale.
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Gandies.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
No.
Ms. Dream.
Yes.
Mr. Bryson.
Yes.
Ms. Becker.
Yes.
Mayor Weldon.
No.
Motion carries.
Okay, that moves us on to item O. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2018-11.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
N. Item N.
Yeah.
Right.
Nice my try. Bid award visitors information kiosk replacement.
Mr. Manager.
This bid award would construct a new visitors information kiosk at the current site on the downtown waterfront. Existing kiosk does not meet ADA requirements and is beyond its useful life. Bids were open on the project on January 22, 2019. I recommend this bid be awarded to Island Contractors Inc. in the amount of $163,873.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to item N? Bring it back to the assembly. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move that the assembly approve the bid award to Island Contractors in the amount of $163,873 and would recommend a no vote. So that's my objection.
Okay. Anybody else wish to speak to this? All right, we'll move to a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Oh, no.
Ms. Hughes-Gandies.
Yes.
Clarification, okay. And a no vote, if we say yes to this, we're agreeing to his vote of no. No? Okay, so it's all right for us to just do that.
The motion's
it's okay for you to vote yes.
So on the motion to approve the bid award to Island Contractors.
That is the
in
motion.
The affirmative, okay. Anything in the affirmative passes the bid award. So Mr. Jones voted no. Ms. Hughes-Gandies.
Yes.
Ms. Hale.
Yes.
Ms. Lettischewski.
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson.
Yes.
Mr. Bryson.
Yes.
Ms. Becker.
Yes.
Ms. Treen.
Yes.
Mayor Weldon.
No.
Motion carries.
All right, now item O. Giving you a minute. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-11-AA, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of up to $170,000 as funding for dock security stations capital improvement project. Funding provided by marine passenger fees.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
Jackson Harbor's board requests approval to transfer $170,000 in marine passenger fees from Docks Operations Fund to CIP H51-122 Dock Security Station. Department of Homeland Security requires Docks personnel secure the vessel at all times it is moored to the crew's berths. Passengers' credentials must be cleared as they enter the vessel's security area. Currently, there's no orderly vessel security access and queuing locations for security checks. The proposed project would construct new security checkpoint facilities, one at the cruise ship terminal and one at the Alaska Steamship Wharf. Funds being transferred are CBJ Marine passenger fee proceeds within the approved docks operation account that was originally identified from U.S. Coast Guard required TWIC readers. Coast Guard has since delayed indefinitely the TWIC reader requirement, thus the funds are able to support another vessel security project. Assembly Public Works and Facilities Committee considered this funding item at its regular public meeting on November 19, 2018, and adopted a motion to prepare an appropriation ordinance for Assembly action. Docks and Harbors Board considered this item at its regular meeting on December 20, 2018, and adopted a motion to recommend the Assembly approve this appropriation ordinance. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to item O? Bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that we adopt ordinance 2018-11AA and ask for unanimous consent.
Okay, Ms. Hughes-Candies.
Can I object for a question, please?
Yes, what's your question?
So, what do we have currently that says there's no orderly vessel security access? I guess that would be to Mr. Manager or Mr. Yucatel.
I'm Carl Yucatel, the port director. So right now, we have the approach dock, we have a fence. And so right now, as guests or passengers return, they have one person in a tent checking credentials as they come on board. The vision here is to have a steel and glass entryway that funnels people in an orderly fashion along the approach dock and down to the ramp. So right now there's nothing. We'd like to have something that is similar to the AJ dock and the Franklin Street dock.
Follow up. So I'm brainstorming. I always get the docks confused. My apologies, sincerely. Are we talking about, is this like an overhang, like a long thing you said as they're approaching the entrance, or is this like a hut, or just I'm having a hard time visualizing it. I'm sorry.
So the two city-owned docks are the Marine Park dock and the near Taku Smokeries dock. So there's a wooden, we call approach dock that leads to a ramp that connects with the floating dock. So on the approach ramp, this is where we'd add this covered waiting room approach as the passengers return to their ship. So it's covered and it'll be much more orderly than what we have right now.
Thank you. That helps.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I'm going to object also for a question for the manager. I am terribly confused tonight. Maybe apparently I've been confused all night. But we just approved a bid for visitors' kiosk at the Public Works Committee, where we considered this particular transfer that's under Ordinance O. The committee had a lot of questions about transferring the money. I think it was a couple $100,000, and Docks and Harbors was very clear that we were only transferring $170,000. That's all we talked about. I look at Ordinance P, and you're adding another $129,000 from a visitor info kiosk, CIP, to this same thing. So you're adding $129,000 to $170,000 that was not talked about at Public Works, was not known to us at Public Works. You're transferring money from a kiosk, and we just approved a kiosk bid. Can you please explain to me why we just approved a kiosk from other funds? Now we're transferring more money into this project when the total value of this project was not considered a public work. I'm really confused.
Who's taking this one, Mr. Manager?
Madam Mayor, I'll take a crack, and thank you, Mr. Jones. I understand the confusion, and so let me try and explain what's happening here. There are two projects, one up on the dock, a dock security project, a second visitor information kiosk project down lower, closer to the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got that.
The dock security project, prior to any of these actions, had dock fund, which is effectively general fund, may be spent for any purpose. The visitor information kiosk had marine passenger fees, which would be subject to Judge Holland's ruling. Now, whether or not the visitor information kiosk is a service to the vessel, nobody is debating. However, we believe absolutely clearly that dock security is a service to the vessel. So what you're seeing here is funds from two projects just moving places, and we're just not even taking up the argument. So the passenger fees would go to dock security, clearly a service to the vessel, and we would use the dock fund, which formerly was going to go to that project, and is functionally general fund for the visitor information kiosk. And thereby, both projects move forward, and we are making a change in our business practice to stay in conformance with Judge Holland's ruling without arguing what it actually means.
That, just follow up. That makes perfectly good sense. I'm glad to understand that. You have not addressed the point at Public Works. We talked about $170,000. We did not talk about almost $300,000. I'm not going to object because I agree with you. I think the dock security of this project is needed. I don't think our dock personnel are going to be standing out in the rain and holding up tourists standing out in the rain trying to get credentials checked in order to get back on their ship. But, you know, if we're going to do our work in committee and not do it here at 10 o'clock at night, I would appreciate knowing the full cost of a project at committee. Thanks. I withdraw my objection. All
right. So any other objections on this one? Okay, seeing and hearing no objections, so moved. Item P. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Transfer 1011, a transfer of $129,000 from the Visitor Info Kiosk Capital Improvement Project to the Dock Security Stations Capital Improvement Project.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
Docks and Harbors Board requests a transfer of funds from CIP account H51110, Visitor Information Kiosk, to CIP account H51122. Dock Security Stations. The request is to transfer $129,000 of CBJ Marine passenger fee proceeds to support design and construction of two new dock security stations. Security stations would provide a covered area for secure vessel access and queuing for security checks. Funding being transferred is CBJ Marine passenger fee proceeds that were approved previously for a new visitor information kiosk. The funds would be transferred to support the dock security stations project. Docks and Harbors Board considered this item at its regular meeting on December 20, 2018, and adopted a motion to recommend the Assembly approve this appropriation ordinance. I recommend this transfer be approved.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to item P? Bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly approve this transfer and recommend. Ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Okay, that will bring us to unfinished business. Mr. Attorney.
Thank you. This is Volunteers of America versus CBJ Assessor. This is a property tax appeal. On March 7th, 2018, the CBJ assessor denied a request from the Volunteers of America for a religious or charitable purpose exemption for two parcels with multifamily housing known as the Terraces at Lawson Creek. Volunteers of America filed a timely appeal. On April 23rd, 2018, the Assembly accepted the appeal and referred it to a hearing officer. The hearing officer held a pre-hearing conference, had the record compiled, and the parties briefed their positions. The hearing officer issued a proposed decision on January 2nd. The Volunteers of America filed a timely objection. The hearing officer considered that objection and the assessor's statement of support and updated the proposed decision. The hearing officer reviewed the record, applied Alaska and CBJ law in light of the record, and ultimately concluded the terraces at Lawson Creek do not qualify for a religious or charitable purpose tax exemption. CBJ Appellate Code 0151.50C governs this process tonight. Unless rejected or modified by an affirmative vote of the Assembly, the hearing officer's proposed order shall be deemed adopted by the Assembly. No testimony or evidence of any nature other than that contained in a timely filed objection may be received by the Assembly at this meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. So we do not take public testimony on this. Mr. Jones.
Thank you. On several similar appeals, there's been issues about whether or not a group could get a partial exemption if they use part of their property for charitable or educational purposes or religious purposes. So they may only pay half the property tax owed or a quarter. This is silent. So is this basically saying that DOA property, given their status and all of the funding of that, basically gets no taxable exemption? They pay full assessed valuation property tax.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. There's two things going on in this appeal. One is what's in front of you with this decision that deals with the exemption. The other thing that's already happened is that because this property is a low-income housing tax credit property or properties, there is a valuation process in state law that has already the effect is that it has devalued the assessed value of this property, and on that devalued assessed property is what they were asking for an exemption on. And the hearing officer in this case also looked at whether apportionment was proper, so whether there were certain portions of the property that an exemption would apply to, and the hearing officer determined that an apportionment was not available under these facts as have been presented.
Are you allowed to tell us what the low-income housing discount on the property was? I mean, they reduced the property value by 20%, 30%, 70%.
I don't have that data in front of me. I know it's usually a very significant number.
Okay, thanks.
Ms. Laszewski.
I move orders of the day.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. All right, let's take a break till 10 after.
Thank you.
Holy snikes. There we go.
Not me. Not me. Hey, there.
On to new business. Mr. Manager, do we have any new business?
I have no new business.
Do you have a staff report?
I do have a staff report.
Please give us your very brief staff report.
Madam Mayor, I just wish to give you a brief staff report on Chicken Yard Park. I have met with the owners of the property, the disputed whether or not an access exists through the park. We have proposed resolution. The owner is amenable. It would result in two parking spaces adjacent to the street, maximizing use of the park, and a small cash payment to the owners of the home. I just bring this up to advise you that this will be going to the Lands Committee on the 4th, and I intend to introduce legislation on the 11th and have public hearing on March 4th. So difficult situation, and providing the assembly trees, I think we can put this one to rest.
Thank you, Mr. Manager, for finding a solution to that difficult situation, and I'm sure Ms. Becker will eagerly await as Lands Chair for your topic. Mr. Jones.
Thank you. And I appreciate that, and I've talked to the manager about that. I I wanted to bring this up during comments. I think this is maybe more appropriate in that you and I sat through a fairly long, until almost 11 o'clock, Planning Commission meeting. A lease was brought forward that Lands Committee had recommended to the Assembly, and we had approved for the manager to negotiate a lease on a compost facility. And at the Planning Commission, they added two conditions, which I thought was sort of above and beyond what, you know, what we authorized the manager to negotiate a lease. They put conditions on something we gave the manager permission to do. Mr. Attorney said they had the power to do that, but there is some confusion between 53 and 49 and 85. And there's some discussion whether this lease would have to go to the Planning Commission. So I would like to ask the Assembly's permission to work with the attorney on what we might see as conflicts and whether or not leases that have gone through the Lands Committee come to the Assembly. The Assembly's given the manager the permission to negotiate, whether or not those could need to or should go back through the Planning Commission, in which they could just simply add conditions without consulting with the manager or anybody else. So I would like to do that and possibly bring back something from the attorney to deal with that.
Okay. Does anybody have any objections? Ms. Becker?
I would kind of object because it's going to Lands, and we do have a director of Lands and who has every right to go talk to the attorney or anyone else. So I'm not sure why we have to have someone outside of the Lands Department tell the Lands Department what to do.
Well, I think you guys
are
agreeing.
Well, first of all,
I think you guys are agreeing on the same.
We're agreeing on this. This went through Lands. It went to the Assembly. The Assembly says, manager, negotiate this lease. They're partway through. It goes to the Planning Commission, and they add conditions. Mm-hmm. You know, conditions like lease terms will include provisions for future lease. Who knows if the person even wants to expand their business? Site planning considerations, substantial growth potential. I mean, the managers who reports to us, we told him to negotiate. Planning Commission halfway through adds conditions. And I'd like to take a look at the ordinances and suggest some changes that might smooth that out a little bit and take away some of the conflict.
Since we're approaching the golden hour, anybody disapprove of this or object to this?
Before it goes to
Ms. Hale.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. My only concern is that the Planning Commission exists for a purpose that is different than the purpose the Assembly exists for. And they look at things with eyes that I don't look at things with. And so I don't want to negate their ability to look at things with the eyes that they...
I'm just reminding, we're not debating the arguments of that. We're just allowing Mr. Jones to look into it. He may find out nothing.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Blaschewski.
The Planning Commission has a purpose. I don't want their purpose to be erased either. So if you want to look at it, because you... I don't object to looking at it, but...
That's all we're agreeing to right
yep.
now. Any objection to just looking at it? Thank you. Mr. Jones, go look at it. Okay.
Mr. Palmer, we're good tired of me.
Any more staff reports?
No, thank you.
Okay, we'll move to Assembly reports. Please make them brief. I had a fairly long-winded mayor's report, but I'll make it as brief as I can. So we welcomed Ms. Hughes-Scandies with a five-hour boot camp, I would say, this weekend. So welcome. We're ready to jump right in. We have started our joint meetings with the Empowered Boards and Commission and have talked with the Planning Commission and Docks and Harbors. We're doing something a little different this year that we're meeting with them separately instead of a whole bunch at once. And so far it's been met with favor. We're making the staff sit off to the side and talking with the boards and commissions themselves, so that's been good. One of the things that we did ask Docks and Harbors was to find a solution for the lumbermen, and the chair just gave me a report that he's already working on that, so that's great. I've been busy with the legislators. Everything, having lunch, welcoming them for the new legislators at lunch. They're going up to the Hill. We had a great legislative reception on January 16th. So kudos to the Alaska Committee, Travel Geno, the Chamber, and city staff for putting on a great event. We also had our legislative delegation breakfast at 7 a.m. on January 17th, and kudos to the assembly members for getting up that early, because I know several morning people. I was allowed to participate in the Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebration, and hats off to the Black Awareness Association for a lovely ceremony, and if you ever get a chance to hear Sherry Patterson sing, please do so. I attended the Federal Furloughed Employees Open House at the Jack this past Friday, and Juneau is an amazing community, as you heard Admiral Bell and Mr. Ingersoll say, that the community has reached out with open arms and trying to help our furloughed federal employees. And I also attended the symphony this past weekend and able to hear my young friend Reese Bleakley solo on the flute. She did an amazing job and looked great. So the hockey team heads up to state this week, so I'll be out of town as of this Wednesday. For my comments, first I've been asked to see if any of you are interested in a tour of St. Vincent de Paul. So if you are interested, please see me afterwards so we can get a head count. Their director asked me if anybody would be interested in that. And second, I think we should task the manager and port director to address the food truck situation with the movement forward of the archipelago. And I have let them both know that I'm about to throw them under the bus, so I ask permission for tasking them with that project. Any objections to that? Okay, you have a new assignment, you two. So. And third, I would like staff to check into videoing or streamlining the assembly meetings. We've tossed that around a little bit, but we haven't seemed to do much action, so I would like to assign that to staff. Any objections to that? Seeing and hearing none? Staff, you're assigned to that. So that is my report. We'll start with Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 8th, Planning Commission met as committee a whole, did training for the new commission members that we had appointed, Shannon Crossley, Ken Alpert. Travis Arndt was there. He didn't know if he's going to sign in or swear in, but he has since made that determination that he is going to be a Planning Commission member. That night, the Jetty condos came up for reconsideration, and the height restriction that had been previously placed on them was now removed. JEDC, Winter Tourism, under Umbrella Project, they're having another innovation summit on February 22nd. They mentioned that 4% of the federal employees Juneau had 4% federal employees, but they accounted for 8% of the wages, and NOAA was shut down at that time. Carl Yucatel gave a brief update on the archipelago project, and they passed a letter of support for the project. Sorry, let me get through my notes real quick. Sorry, Madam Mayor. The 22nd Planning Commission, the state got a few more easements, especially around the Twin Lakes area. They passed the composting facility and the boarding house in Montana Creek that conditional use permit was denied, but that raised a couple of questions. One, do we have enough Airbnb regulations, because that is becoming more and more of an issue, and there are no boarding house ordinances for Juneau, so maybe having something that would address boarding houses. And my last meeting, that concludes. That was the long Planning Commission meeting. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the Juneau Commission on Aging on the 8th of January, my first and only Commission on Aging meeting, because I hadn't been able to make it before, and now I'm not on that committee anymore now that we've done a little shifting. I think the highlight of that is that they're gearing up for the 2020 Senior Needs Survey, and they'll get some money from the city for that. And I had a chance to look through it. It's pretty good and pretty interesting. Blood Bank Grand Opening on the 17th, I attended that, and Senator Keel was there. That was nice, as was the Lieutenant Governor and some legislators. I attended the chamber meeting where our city manager did an excellent job presenting. And this morning at 7 a.m., I attended the Bartlett Planning Committee, so it's been a very long day. There are good signs around getting an ophthalmologist, which is a hard word to say at 10:30 at night. That's been an ongoing project, but it's looking good. They have a crisis stabilization grant, and that's really oriented towards helping people in mental health crisis. And as some of you may know, for a long time, children or kids in mental health crisis have had to leave Juneau because there hasn't been services available here. They got the grant 9 months earlier than they expected to get it, so they're not building their facility yet, but they're actually building their program and using some of that grant money now to build their program. They reported great news. They had two kids over the past couple of weeks that were able to stay in Juneau and receive service in Juneau. So that was, and they're back with their families now. So that was really exciting news. When this program comes to fruition, the projection is that of the kids who've been in mental health crisis that had to leave Juneau for services, 70% will be able to stay here, and I think that's really positive. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Ms. Hughes, Candies.
Obviously, mine's pretty brief. Thank you, Madam Mayor. As you said, I had a great training over the weekend. Thank you to the Mr. Manager and the attorney and Madam Clerk and yourself and Finance Director. Happy and honored to join you guys here. I wasn't appointed until after the regular meetings for both of the committees that I am liaison to, so I'm looking forward to meeting with those. We reappointed two members to the Commission on Aging and the Human Resource Committee this evening. We have a vacancy in that that we'll be looking to fill. And we heard earlier this evening that we'll expect an official recommendation from the Affordable Housing Commission themselves on their feelings towards whether to sunset that or not.
Thank you. Just so you know, typically we let the chair talk about their committees. But we're glad you're excited about it. Ms. Dream.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Aquatics Board has been doing a lot of governance work, and we discussed that. I don't know if you remember the first thing that was on our agenda. It's hard. It was a while ago, but we've already done that, so I'll skip over the Aquatics Board. Travel Juneau has participated in each of the Blueprint Downtown walking tours and community events. They assisted the Alaska Committee with the annual legislative welcome reception, which was a great event, lots of fun. And if anybody wants to know where to buy hot pink suits, call me.
Mm-hmm.
They have assisted in staffing the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters booth at the Seattle Boat Show. They've noted that there's an increased interest in Juneau as a moorage stop for charter yachts and personal watercraft, as a hub for visiting Southeast Alaska. And Travel Juneau will hold its annual partner meeting this Friday, during which the annual report will be released and copies will be sent to us next week. And that's all I've got.
Thanks, Ms. Train. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Let me see here. The Human Resources Committee met just before this meeting. One of the things that we talked about, I'll go over it first, is the Assembly tasked us with having hearings on the, sorry, my brain is kind of numb right now. Affordable Housing Commission. We had a hearing. It was fairly short. What we decided to do is talk a little bit with the chair, and then we tabled the discussion until next meeting, allowing the Affordable Housing Commission to come up with their own recommendations on their February 7th meeting. And then we could address those on the February 12th meeting. So I'm going to, the other thing that we did is we went over the appointments for five boards and commissions. And to go quickly, I'll just squish them together to try to go a little bit more quickly. I move that the Assembly appoint Charles Ward to the Douglas Advisory Board for a term beginning immediately and ending September 30th, 2021. Reappoint Peter Froelich and Deborah Rudis to the Jensen Olson Arboretum Board for terms beginning February 1st, 2019 and ending January 31st, 2022. reappoint Katrina Lee and Joanne Florida to the Jensen Olson. Now that should be something else. What was that?
Commission on Aging.
Let's see. For terms beginning immediately and ending December 31st, 2020, reappoint Donna Pierce to the Juneau Public Library Endowment Board for a term beginning February 1st, 2019 and ending January 31st, 2022. And appoint Lucas Chambers and Percy Frisbee to the Wetlands Review Board for terms beginning immediately and ending December 31st, 2021.
Okay.
And I recommend unanimous consent.
Any objections to any of those names? Seeing and hearing none, so moved.
That is my report. Thank you.
As Human Resources Chair, we talked about the Aquatics Board and to open up an application process for new members. Do you want to be in charge of that?
Yes.
You want to check with staff?
I would be proud to.
Yeah, make sure that's done with staff, so that would be great. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met January 14th. Most of those items we dealt with tonight. The next meeting is February 4th under the new chair. You'll get a report from her. I will report on the Finance Committee as the incoming new chair. The last meeting was on the 9th of January. It was about 22 minutes. Mr. Keel was anxious to leave us. And the next meeting is Wednesday, February 6th. Juneau School Board met January 8th. The primary success of that was hiring Bridget Weiss as the permanent superintendent. They started their budget process. They had a retreat on the 12th where they talked somewhat about budget, but they met with the Juneau delegation. One of the major issues that they talked to the delegation about was preserving the one-time-only money that the governor's continuing, anyway, the deficit reduction money for this year. He took that out, $20 million. So that could be a cut to the school district this year that we can't replace. They met January 15th, January 24th on the budget. Their next meeting on the budget is February 5th. The next school board meeting is on the 12th of February. Child care committee met on the 25th. We're meeting on the 8th of February, and we'll set further dates. But instead of meeting every couple of weeks, it looks like we're going to try to get about three or four meetings in before the end of March, in which I am hopeful that we will have an 80% of a plan and recommendation that then we can talk to the public about, but it will give the assembly some idea of where we're headed. The Downtown Business Association had a retreat on the 8th of January. They looked at their goals. For the next year, they're going to look at the development of a business improvement district. They want to increase their membership, and they're exploring the implementation of a downtown circulator. And just as a note, the staff person with JADC that has been instrumental, I think, in getting the DBA looking forward and putting together a lot of these plans, Dana Hernan, will be leaving, and she will be staffed to Senator Murkowski and Senator Sullivan, and I think she starts on February 4th. So JADC will be working on who's going to be the person that will be helping the Downtown Business Association. And then just one comment that I wasn't going to make, but given the mayor's task to deal with, quote, the food truck issue, today a business person while I was having lunch came up and showed me a thing from CDD that talked about a public meeting, and I didn't write down the dates. I asked them to get me a copy of the information. They said they would. It wasn't in my box tonight. But basically it's a meeting about the potential leasing of Kanakade Park. And the question to me was, oh, you're going to put all these food trucks right outside my restaurant door, huh? So I didn't write down the dates of the public meeting. Hopefully CDD will inform all of the assembly of what that date is, but there were the notices that went out. So if you're tasked with food trucks, I would attend that meeting. I plan on attending that meeting if I don't have any other conflict. That's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Lands Committee met on the 14th. The Vertical Bridge Holdings, the name of the company that has a tower, and they want to admit we can do it. They want to amend the existing ACS wireless communication site lease by getting an additional 144 square feet so that the new leasee, subleasee, will have room for their ground equipment. The Lands Committee forwarded a motion of support to the Assembly to amend the revenue lease to accommodate the additional subleasee, and I believe that goes to the manager for signature if he chooses to. The Alaska Committee met for their annual meeting on the 26th of this month. There's election of board members. We reviewed the Alaska Committee's past year's activities and issues, and some of those were sponsorship for AML and for Southeast Conference, Alaska Chamber fly-in, surveys, state fairs, and then we discussed future activities and issues, and that was main one was to assist in funding for Gavel to Gavel. And also there's an opportunity for all of us to invite a legislator to dinner, because we are doing dinner in the home. And if you want to know more about that, please ask me, because it should be kind of fun. Someone could do it with me and cook. Okay. The Chamber on the 22nd, they had their annual board meeting. The mayor and I went, and the mayor gave an overview of the Assembly's 2019 goals, emphasizing some of the things we're hoping they're going to do. On 1/24 at the Chamber, Lauren gave an update on marijuana in Alaska. It was very well done. Thank you for doing that. The next Chamber meeting will be 1/31. The meeting will be with the state chamber at Centennial Hall. And after that meeting, this Thursday, then we will start going to the Hangar Ballroom. I went to the symphony that was given for fourth and fifth graders given by Any Given Child. It was a Carnegie-funded project. It was wonderful. And the young lady who played the flute was unbelievable. I can't remember her name. Reese.
And beautiful, too. She's dramatic. Yeah.
And her playing is unbelievable. And then a question for the manager. Have you been contacted by the taxi cab companies?
Through the mayor, I have not been.
Oh, okay. I thought they were going to. Have they contacted other members of the Assembly? Okay, so they're
regarding.
I was the only one that got picked on.
No, they contacted me.
Yeah. Well, what they want is to be able to have their taxi cabs serve as Uber, Lyft, and taxi cabs, and be able to switch whichever one they were at, depending on what was needed at the time. And I just listened. I wanted to hear a lot more. That wasn't anything that I could say. Sounds good, doesn't sound good. I thought it would come to you and we would hear from you about that.
I think Mr. Attorney is scribbling notes, so he will be looking into that.
Okay. And that's all, thank you.
Mr. Jones?
I just checked my email. So the hearing date is the 26th of February here in Chambers. They take public comments through February 4th. We'll go into staff report. Comments from February 5th till noon on February 22nd will be given to the commissioners over the weekend before the hearing. And the public hearing will be here at Chambers 7 p.m. on February 26th for the city project to lease Gonacadet Park to Deccan Dave's on an annual basis for the development of a seasonal food court.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Lashes.
Okay, we're all turning to pumpkins in 20 minutes, so very briefly, we all were at the Committee of the Whole meeting, but for the benefit of the public, we talked about the debt. We had an update on downtown blueprint. We heard from JPD, update on crime statistics, and also on their workforce issues, and we heard from the fire department on update on the Fitch study and on their workforce issues, and also talked about action strategies from the Public Safety Task Force. from the last assembly. Our next COW is February 4th, which is next Monday. Some fascinating topics yet to be determined. So stay tuned for that fascinating meeting. I went to the same federal workers open house with Jack that the mayor did. It was excellent. I'm so happy that the our community was helpful to our federal citizens, people employed by the federal government. That's really was great to hear. I also attended the last downtown blueprint walking tour, which was good to do. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Would you like a motion? Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I love a motion.
No. There's no.
Thank you, everybody, for keeping your comments brief. We're moving on to continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Mr. Harris, you have a very strict 2 minutes. And please make sure they're on agenda.
Well, thank you. No, they're not on the agenda, but I know you have a executive session right after this, so I wanted to give you a couple thoughts as you go in there. I would hope that you would appeal Judge Holland's decision regarding money benefiting passengers, I would suggest, not in jest but seriously, we have a wonderful appellate attorney in Juneau who's unemployed right now. And I think if you give Ms. Bacalar the job of doing the appeal on this Holland decision, I think she'd do a great job. I think that if, however, we are restricted in how we can use the money, I think that there's several things we could do that are services to ships. One, we could pay off the bonds early on those docks so that if and when the cruise industry decides that Alaska is no longer a destination, at least the debt will be paid for. I would also suggest that you could consider adding the equipment to those new floating docks, transformers and everything, cabling, and tell the cruise ships that come here that they could start benefiting the planet by plugging in when they dock and require them to do so, so we can get rid of this particulate soot that we have to deal with every summer. I know people that live in the Mendenhall apartments can't keep their windows open because of the soot. So I think it's time to get those people to electrify their ships when they're docked, and I think that we can certainly use the fees for that. Another thing is, in the past, passenger fees have been used to pay for maintenance and operation of the restrooms at private docks. And I think that that should stop now because, for one thing, those private dock operators would never let anybody else bid except the people that already had bids to come to their docks.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Harris. I have to move us along.
And I thank you very much for your time and your service.
All right, Ms. Glashefsky.
I would move that the Assembly recess into executive session to discuss pending, to discuss CBJ litigation, specifically the CLIO lawsuit. And strategies with the attorney.
Thank you. Any members of the public object us going to executive session? Seeing and hearing none, we're moving. We're not getting up.
We're not getting up.
Everybody stay in their seats.
We're not getting up.
Man, I was doing good for
until
about 20 minutes.
I know, it hit me all at once. I'm fine, I'm on it.
The moment the excitement was gone.
Yeah, exactly.
You still with us, ma'am?
I know. I wanted to start.
Everybody's looking more and more disheveled.
But I'm like, I want my bagel. That's going to save me if I eat that bagel.
Don't you think we're all looking more and more disheveled?
We do.
I know. I'm not good.
Except you don't have hair to look disheveled, so you look neat and clean.
I did that on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking very sharp. Looking very sharp.
Okay. I forgot. Sorry.